coffee grower. And so we invite you to listen in. And thank you so much for giving us your Tuesday. Is it Tuesday? Yes, it is Tuesday.
It is Tuesday.
And please stay tuned for the Peter B. Collins Show coming up next after the CBS News.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes.
Not everybody comes home wounded, but nobody comes home unchanged.
After serving America in the nation's military uniforms, thousands of veterans killed themselves. It's a CBS News exclusive. Correspondent Armin Katayan says more than 6,200 veterans killed themselves in just 2005.
The other number that stuck out, and perhaps most significantly, was veterans aged 20 to 24, those most likely to have served during the War on Terror, are killing themselves when they come home at rates estimated to be 2.5 to almost 4 times higher than non-vets in the same age group.
All the details will be on the CBS Evening News. CBS's Barry Bagnato says the military knows it has a problem.
This study finds 6 months after an initial mental health screening, problems are expanding among soldiers back from Iraq. Post-traumatic stress, a 50% increase. Depression rates, double. The biggest increase comes in the area of personal conflicts. There's a fourfold jump in the number of soldiers reporting marital or other relationship problems.
Jewelry company Tiffany says a lot of what's sold on eBay with its name on it is counterfeit, and the company claims eBay knows it. eBay's Honey Dersey says,
"We believe that Tiffany's claims are without merit. eBay's long been a pioneer in the fight against counterfeits on the Internet, going above and beyond what we believe is required by the law."
Federal case in Manhattan is to decide whether eBay can be liable for knockoffs sold on its Internet site since 2003. One of O.J. Simpson's former golfing buddies testified for the prosecution today in the preliminary hearing on the armed robbery charges.
He was standing up laughing. I think he had had a few drinks. And he was like, "Yeah, whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, but not if you're O.J. Simpson." Ha 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 ha, you know, he's laughing.
Walter Alexander says Simpson not only asked that guns be brought to the robbery, but draw it, he said, before going through the door. This has not been such a great year for home sales. Next year may not be much to write home about.
The National Association of Realtors is forecasting sales of existing homes to reach a five-year low in 2007, and next year could be even worse. This is the ninth straight downward forecast from the group. The latest prediction is that sales will fall more than 12.5% this year compared to last.
That's CBS's Cammie McCormick. Oil prices came down some today, $91.17 a barrel. That's down $3.45. Industry analyst John Kilduff.
Gasoline prices will probably still rise another 15 to 20 cents a gallon over the next several weeks. However, it will be a brief price spike if the losses on the NYMEX exchange today can be held onto and if we go lower.
On Wall Street, a good day. The Dow soared nearly 320 points today. The Nasdaq gained more than 89, almost 90 points. In West Haven, Utah, 8 cows found the gate a little bit loose on the back of the big trailer when the driver pulled up to McDonald's for a hamburger. Well over 3 tons of burger on the hoof got out of the truck and took off at a trot. It took 2 hours to round them up. This is CBS News.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. If your company is searching for a few new chairs or furnishing an entire office, Hahn offers a wide range of products from file cabinets to executive desks to suites. Hahn knows your choice is a long-term investment. Its full line of thoughtfully designed products are adaptable, modular, and multi-purpose, maximizing flexibility in your office. Hahn, smart now, smarter later. For a free catalog or quote, visit gethahn.com. That's gethon.com. And I'll see you on the Osgood File.
Next time your grandkids ask if frogs have noses, what will you be thinking about? Hopefully not your Medicare plan. Review your plan and options during Medicare's open enrollment, November 15th to December 31st. Once you know you have the right plan, you can get on with the important things in life, like discussing amphibian facial features. For open enrollment details, consult your Medicare and You handbook. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
That nice rosy red slab of meat at the grocery store may be artificially made to look that fresh. Treat the meat with carbon monoxide and it'll stay nice and red a lot longer.
Federal regulators told the House subcommittee this is not a high-priority safety issue, but Democrats insisted to the Food and Drug Administration and to manufacturers that labels should say that carbon monoxide is used. The chief executive of Hormel Foods, Jeffrey Ettinger, conceded it is used to make the color red rather than purple.
Consumers are not eating bad product and are not being deceived by this technology.
He offered to add to meat labels a notice: don't depend on the color to determine freshness. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
A baggage handler was loading bags onto a U.S. Airways plane at Phoenix Sky Harbor this morning. One suitcase was hot to the touch and smoking. Everybody off the plane. Everybody back through the lines. Check all the bags. Turns out, conveyor belt friction burned the backpack and leaky toiletries made the smoke. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
You know, a wise man once said, success is easy. Do the right thing the right way at the right time. Simple, right? Of course, small business owners will tell you that finding time is what makes it tough. That's why more small business owners turn to Visa Business. It has multiple payment options like credit and debit that are accepted at millions of locations worldwide. And it helps reduce paperwork by tracking your finances. To see more ways Visa can help, go to visa.com/small business. Business takes Visa.
An important message for motorists.
Gas is killing me.
You've suffered long enough.
Really hurts when I fill up.
Relief is on the way.
Gas? You can pay a high price. Or just grab a Rolaids Plus Soft Chew and feel better.
Rolaids Plus stops gas with the most effective anti-gas medicine available. Tums can't. Chewy, not chalky. Rolaids Plus stops heartburn and the pain and bloating of gas.
Who can afford gas? Use Rolaids Plus Gas Relief.
Use it directed.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to a fresh edition of the Peter B. Collins Show, beaming your way from San Francisco, where it's a beautiful day and the bay would be the color of Superman's hair were it not for that ugly oil spill from the freighter that ran into the Bay Bridge last Thursday. And aside from the ecological damage, they have indefinitely delayed the crab season. And it hits me right here above the belt. Yeah, I can still find my belt. And I want to thank that construction crew that is chewing up the street just outside our secret studio for completing their work just before our show began today. Thank you, guys. On today's program, Rachel Morris will join us in half an hour from Washington Monthly. We're going to talk about Rudy Giuliani. And she argues in an article in Washington Monthly that he's the guy who would grab the power that Bush has asserted for himself and expand it even more. Be afraid. Be really afraid. Also on today's program, Democratic presidential candidate Mike Gravel. Will he be invited to Thursday night's debate? He was excluded from the one in Philly a week or two ago. We'll get the latest from Mike from Alaska. Also on today's show, Jason Leopold, the intrepid investigative reporter from truthout.org. He's got another exclusive video interview. This time it's Valerie Wilson. We'll play some clips and get his reactions to her questions, or actually to her questions for Bush and her answers to Jason. Also on today's show, Melanie Sloan from Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington checks in. Crew has been successful in getting a temporary restraining order against the Bush White House, requiring them to hold on to those emails and not delete them or, cause any paper documents to be shredded. All along the way, you can call in and join this conversation. It's a two-way radio program. We pay for your call toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-573-8372. And my personal email is peter@peterbcollins.com. Remember the Bob Dylan song, You Don't Need a Weatherman to Tell You Which Way the Wind Blows?
Give me an L.
There were women in the Weathermen. And the group that went from the SDS to the Weathermen to the Weather Underground.
What stuck is in your mind? Not the present or the past. It can happen anywhere, anytime.
Country Joe, we can't really bring back the 60s man, but there's a powerful new book out that retraces the anti-war movement and some of the more extreme elements of it during the 1960s and 1970s. Kathy Wilkerson was a member of, as I mentioned, the Weather Men and the Weather Underground. She's published a new book called Flying Close to the Sun, subtitled My Life and Times as a Weatherman. Kathy, welcome to our program.
Well, thank you very much.
I really enjoyed your book because you really helped flesh out some of the early history of the anti-war movement in this country. Many people remember the crescendo on the streets of Chicago during the Democratic Convention in 1968. But as you recount in the book, there were very well-organized anti-war activities going back into the early 60s, and things really started to take hold, about 1965, with Tom Hayden's Port Huron Statement?
Well, the Port Huron Statement actually came out much earlier, like in 61, I believe, 60 or 61. But in 65 was the SDS, Students for Democratic Society, Peace March in Washington, and it was the first one against the war, and it made a huge impression nationally. It was not big, but it was very well known and well covered, and Paul Potter gave a very famous speech then at which he put out the question, how is it that good men can do bad things?
Mm-hmm.
And began to sort of look at where the war in Vietnam came from and what the economic factors were that caused it.
Yeah. And your own history is fascinating. You got active in the desegregation movement, the civil rights movement in the early 60s at Swarthmore. You were acquainted with some of the Quaker peace concepts and philosophies. And then you got active in opposing the Vietnam War. And culminating in an explosion in your father's townhouse in New York in 1970, it really must have been quite an odyssey for you to go through all those efforts. And, of course, in the book, you help us understand the context, because many people, just think of the anti-war movement as people who were subject to the draft and out of self-interest opposed it. When there was much more depth to the movement, philosophically, there was a great underpinning. There was much more organization than I think many people grasp in retrospect. So there was a lot more to it than the media reported. And, of course, you were constantly under government surveillance. We now know the dimensions of the COINTELPRO program. And so the paranoia that many people in the movement felt was actually quite justified.
Well, actually, it was what they were doing was beyond our wildest dreams, because we knew that they were collecting information. We knew that they were tapping our phones. There would be all kinds of clicks. Occasionally, we would hear them on the phone. The technology wasn't real developed then. And our mail would arrive open, or it would disappear, and there'd be these funny people at meetings.
Yeah.
But what we didn't know was that they were using that information to manipulate us and to create divisions within organizations. Whenever there was any disagreement, they would personalize it. And then they began to do that between organizations, between SDS and the Black Panther Party, between SDS and the Women's Movement, and between all other kinds of organizations, so that they actively pursued this policy of destroying organizations.
Yeah. Well, I'm a little younger than you, so some of these things are kind of fresh in terms of learning them for the first time. Others brought back waves of memories for me. What you just described, too, was borne out a few years later. This was about 1973. There was a serious incident in Chicago where an activist named Fred Hampton was killed. He was a Black Panther, and the FBI set him up, and it was police officers who killed him. But initially, they were able to frame it around a rival group, the Black Peacestone Nation. And they worked very hard to create gaps and rivalries between people of similar philosophies who belonged to different groups.
They certainly did, and that was a great example, like trying to pit the, because the Black Panther Party, which was a very political, community-oriented organization of young people, had reached out to the gangs in Chicago and were being quite successful. And so driving a wedge between the gangs and the Panthers became a real priority of the Chicago Police Department and was with devastating consequences. And we later, after Watergate, we got hold of some of these FBI papers, we saw that they said early on, in the mid-60s, they set their goal as, quote, preventing the rise of a black messiah at any cost.
Yep.
And so it makes you look back to King's death and to the death of all the Panther leaders who were, I mean, there were maybe 15 or 20 Panthers who were killed during the late 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, culminating in Fred Hampton's death in Chicago, which was actually the end in December of 69, which was one of the things that, for me personally, I was in Chicago when that happened, that set me on a path to a more radical path.
Mm-hmm. So talk about your radicalization, because you started off as a fairly garden variety peacenik, and toward the end, the explosion in the townhouse was a result of your gathering explosive devices for some incidents that you were hoping to create.
Well, SDS had really given voice to sort of my own yearnings as a young person when they talked about participatory democracy and how we believed in the Declaration of Independence and the ideal of democracy and saw how powerful it had been for waves of immigrants, which included many families of people in SDS. But that we didn't have a level playing field at all, in fact, and there was not equal access to political and economic power in the United States. And so I had spent most of the 60s fighting for participatory democracy and trying to figure out what the obstacles to a level playing field were. But by 60, we came into 68 very optimistic because the civil rights movement had actually won some things.
Yeah.
They had won the end to Jim Crow laws as a legal existence, not in actuality, but as on the books. They had forced the federal government to come into the South and take on the Southern police departments. So they had won some major victories, even though there was a lot more to go. And it made us feel like we could win more victories. And China had had a revolution in 49, and Cuba had had a revolution in 59, and Vietnam was fighting, and in Africa, Angola, Mozambique, Guinea-Bissau all had revolutions going on. So it was a very optimistic period, but by 69, after King and Kennedy were killed and the Panthers started to be killed, Nixon was campaigning and trivializing the movement and promoting the war, and Humphrey was promoting the war. We began to get really discouraged and feel like that they were able to absorb this level of protest mm-hmm. and not change policy.
Kathy Wilkerson is our guest. Her new book is called Flying Close to the Sun. As we continue, I want to talk with her about sexism in the anti-war movement and the 10 years or so that she spent underground on the lam. If you have a question or comment, join us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. More in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year, and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread,
try the scones. Everything's a taste, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
We get to hear farther into space than anybody's ever heard before.
Yeah. Are there other people out there in the universe?
That's a good question. What do you think?
Huh? I don't know.
It's a good answer. Skeptic, huh? Now, the most important thing is that you all keep searching for your own answers. I'll tell you one thing about the universe, though. The universe is a pretty big place. It's bigger than anything anyone has ever dreamed of before. So if it's just us, it seems like an awful waste of space.
We are not alone. This is Bob Oliver. I have seen UFOs using night vision equipment. You can too. They are real just like you and me. Take the Quantum Leap Saturday morning, 11 a.m. on KRXA 540. That's 11 a.m. Saturday.
On August 28, Todd Endress was almost eaten alive by an 18-foot great white while surfing on Monterey Bay. A pod of 15 dolphins formed a wall between Todd and the shark, otherwise he would have died. ISARF, the International Shark Attack Research Fund, is a nonprofit foundation spearheaded by Todd to find ways to keep surfers, swimmers, and divers safe in our oceans without harming the shark. If you'd like to help, please go to ISARF.org to make your tax-deductible donation. That's ISARF.org.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is taking your calls today. Stacy's back to Kent State. Kathy Wilkerson is with us, her memoir about the weather underground and the weathermen and the SDS before that is called Flying Close to the Sun. And Kathy, just during the break, Brian, our assistant producer who's taking calls here today, said, hey, you ever heard of Bill Ayers? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, I know his son, Max. It is a very small world.
Of course.
Oh, it's nephew. I'm sorry, not son. He just corrected me on that.
Okay.
But it is a small world, and Charles joins us on the phone from Carmel, and he got on the line before we had mentioned Hoover and COINTELPRO and has a comment on that. Charles, welcome to the show today.
Hi, how you doing?
Just fine.
I was wondering, I haven't really heard anybody suggest the idea that this wiretapping that Bush has been doing over the last 5 years, do you think there's any connection between that and the Democrats are so pathetically opposing him, weakly opposing him?
So you mean instead of tapping Osama's calls, you think they've intercepted, say, Barack Obama's calls?
I think they're probably tapping all the congressmen, just like J. Edgar Hoover did. Didn't Hoover do that and get files on everybody and then manipulate them the way he wanted to?
Well, he certainly had a very aggressive program. I don't know that he was able to wiretap everybody. Kathy, what's your comment?
Well, I don't know that he wiretapped most of the congressional people, but he did focus on the movement and certainly everybody from King on out. And there were quite a number of other officials who did get wiretapped. And I assume that the intelligence gathering is continuing to go on. What matters is how they're using that intelligence.
Can I say something else?
Sure you can. Go ahead, Charles.
That's probably what's in Cheney's man-sized safe in his office. These X-rated conversations between whoever.
Yeah. All right, thank you for your comment today. Appreciate the call, Charles. Now, I want to focus on the sexism that you encountered because your book is very interesting. You talk about what was going on in the SDS and the various offshoots of it. And I recently saw a documentary called The Chicago 10, which took us back to the trial of the Chicago 7 or 8, depending on how you count it all. They added the attorneys in, and the film used archival footage, and then they used animation with actors' voices to recreate the courtroom of Judge Julius Hoffman in that incredible political show trial that took place. But what was very clear in that archival footage was the way that women were marginalized and basically treated as toys and sex objects in too many cases.
Well, women, it was an interesting time because many of the local leaders of the civil rights movement in the South were women, and certainly my earliest mentors and role models were black women who were active in the civil rights movement. And that was a very powerful example for many, many of the women who then joined SDS, who saw this strength that these women had and wanted to emulate it. And in SDS, we had incredible opportunities that weren't available to us. I mean, when I was growing up, I was told I could be a teacher, a nurse, or a secretary, and that was kind of it. And then at 21, I was editor of New Left Notes, the SDS newspaper. So in the movement, there were all these opportunities. At the same time, women were kind of expected to do all the grunt work at the same time, like they still are in many cases.
Yeah.
And women's leadership, there was a glass ceiling for women's leadership, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And so it was, women were really, on countless occasions, not listened to.
Yeah.
And that was a huge problem in the movement, and from what I understand, continues to be a little bit of a problem, or yeah, a little bit more than a little bit.
Kathy, your book tells much more, and we don't have time for it all. I've got about 30 seconds. What's your comment on the opposition to the current war, and do you have any tips for people who want to see this come to an end as soon as possible?
Well, I don't give tips, but I think that the opposition today is bigger and smarter than the opposition to the war was in our day. By a long shot. The difference is that we felt, because of the civil rights movement, we felt very powerful. And people today feel less powerful. And I think it's helpful to see the movement today, however, in a continuum of people who've been fighting for participatory democracy and to get these decisions back in the public forum since the Magna Carta.
Yeah.
And we're making progress. That whether we'll make enough progress fast enough, I don't know.
Kathy Wilkerson, former Weather Underground. The book is Flying Close to the Sun. Thanks for talking with us today.
Well, thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by TreeClassics.com, the world's finest artificial Christmas trees, and by Hahn Office Furniture, durable, flexible, and looks good for years. I'm Charles Osgood. Do you ever get the feeling that people running things, I don't mean just political leaders, but our corporate leaders, religious leaders, people who run universities, the media, you name it, don't seem to know what they're doing anymore? If so, you are not alone, as we'll hear in a moment, after this for Tree Classics. This Christmas, decorate your home with the world's finest artificial Christmas trees from TreeClassics.com. With more than 76 styles, all backed by their 10-year tree and 5-year light warranty. TreeClassics.com is the place to visit for a hassle-free holiday. Buy factory direct and save 40 to 60% with free delivery. Type in CO22 for an additional 10% discount when checking out. TreeClassics.com, their price and their quality cannot be beat. Bose Quiet Comfort Acoustic Noise Canceling Headphones fade background distractions so you can hear your music more clearly. And they're so comfortable, you may forget you're wearing them. Call 800-611-1468 to try them for 30 days risk-free. Get QC headphones by January 31st and receive $50 towards select Bose products purchased at the same time. Conditions and limitations apply. Choose QC3 headphones for an on-ear fit, QC2 headphones for an around-ear fit. Call for details. They make a great gift. So call 800-611-1468. The Center for Public Leadership at Harvard and U.S. News & World Report do an annual study of confidence in leadership. This year's report finds 3/4 of us think the country is suffering from a crisis in confidence.
This is not just tied to President Bush or the war in Iraq. This is about leadership across the board.
David Gergen, former advisor to presidents of both parties, is now director of the Leadership Center and writes for U.S. News & World Report.
People are expressing a lack of confidence in leadership in the educational field and nonprofits. In business, religious organizations, state government, congressional branch, yes, the executive branch, but very importantly, the press. The press comes in last on confidence.
Why corporate leaders?
You know, the companies go bad. A lot of people get hurt holding their stock. Employees get hurt. CEOs walk off with huge packages. That's causing a lot of unrest.
As for the press, especially election coverage,
they're looking for substance. They're looking for some sense of where the candidates would take the country, and what they feel they're getting is exactly what they don't want, sort of triviality, negativism, horse race.
And Gergen feels that same way.
In my judgment, it's not who's going to win. We could all sit around and speculate on that. The big issue, though, is can the winner lead? Will the winner emerge as a leader who can bring the country together?
Instead, our politics right now are poisonous, except, says David Gergen, in a few cases on the state level.
There are leaders emerging who are no longer partisans. They're what we call post-partisans. They're people who are trying to leave behind the poisonous politics and see if we can't govern in a better way.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
This is how we do it.
Yeah, this is how we do it. First, we get those annoying squeegee guys off the street. Then we route the hookers from Times Square, make it safe for Disney and Nike Town. And then America's mayor runs for president, right? Huh? Next two segments, we're going to talk about some candidates for president this year. First up, Rudy Giuliani, and then the candidate himself, Mike Gravel, Democratic candidate for president, will join us next hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Rachel Morris joins me now. She's an editor at Washington Monthly. Hello, Rachel.
Hi, Peter.
Thanks for being on the program today.
Thanks for having me.
I want to commend you for the story that you've written, and people can read it for themselves at WashingtonMonthly.com or actually go to a newsstand and buy the magazine. But you wrote, I think, a very interesting analysis of Giuliani without one mention of Bernie Kerik or some of the fallout from 9/11. And I say that because those are kind of the easy critiques on Giuliani these days. And what you're driving out is it's much scarier than, whether Giuliani would put a crony in place, say, at the Department of Homeland Security, or some of the other kind of surface issues that are currently being brought up around his campaign. But the picture you paint is that if Rudy Giuliani becomes president, he will eclipse George W. Bush as a power grabber. Explain what you mean.
Well, I think what I wanted to do is, I think, looking at the primaries, the issue of, the expansion of presidential power under Bush and Cheney is, to me, one of the two big stories of the Bush administration, the Iraq war being the other. And so because Rudy Giuliani, I think, has, the most interesting record in this respect, I wanted to look at his operating style as a mayor, not so much as a politician, although that comes into it too, but more as an operator inside the government and the bureaucracy to try and get a sense of if he were elected and basically, handed the expanded office that Bush and Cheney has created, how he would use those powers. And what I found was really quite unexpected, even to me. I think a lot of people know that, he was an aggressive mayor and that he sort of used his office to grandstand a lot. But I think a lot of people don't know that the tactics he uses in terms of how he basically enlarges the power of his own office at the expense of, other sort of powers within the New York City government were very similar to what we've seen over the last 8 years with the Bush administration.
Indeed. And I feel that Giuliani has a persona that he's proud of that is nasty, is mean, is selfish, and he practices what I would call bully politics.
Right. Well, I think people definitely have, especially if you lived in New York, you know that for sure. And I think people who live, outside New York have some sense of that, too.
Now, Rachel, let me just interject here. I detect a southern accent, not from the South Bronx, but perhaps from Australia.
It's New Zealand.
New Zealand.
So
okay.
Very close.
You're a Kiwi.
I'm a Kiwi, but I did actually live in New York for a couple of years. So.
During the Giuliani reign?
No, I just missed him.
Uh-huh. Well, so, good for you.
Right. but yeah, I sort of... I wasn't there at the time, but mm-hmm. have spent some time there.
Okay, and just one more personal question. North Island or South?
North Island.
North Island, okay. Well, I've been to New Zealand. It's a beautiful country, and I can't wait to go back.
Yeah, it is quite lovely.
Yeah. So Rudy Giuliani came on as a guy who was going to clean up New York, and you open your article with a reference to the squeegee guys who I talked about a moment ago, and they were really quite prevalent also in Washington. I remember being offered free or the corner squeegee service at a stoplight there, and they do appear to have moved elsewhere or just left the streets of New York. And I will concede that Times Square and some of the other areas are much more accessible and less scary to tourists, because that's how I know New York. But as you point out, by the time he got to his second term, you write, before long, his tough management style deteriorated into futile callousness. Explain what you mean by that.
Well, I think the key thing to understand about Giuliani is that he doesn't have a very good sense of sort of when to call it quits. So he starts out with something that, might seem like a good idea, kind of accomplishes his goal, and then he just keeps on going. I guess the best example is probably crime. I mean, he came into office at a time when, crime in New York was, beyond a serious problem. It was something that, made living there something that people reconsidered every day, and people, would have loved to have moved out, and it really made living in New York a sort of unpleasant experience for many people. So he really committed himself to doing something about that. But because, I guess he just, does not always have a very good sense of, where the limits are, what is a sort of like reasonable response to a problem, especially in his second term, his police department and the sorts of, you know, policies that he put in place and the power that he gave the police department, you know, resulted in, you know, some fairly high profile, brutality cases. So that's, you know, that's on a larger scale an example, but on a sort of inside the government, level, he basically was, you know, fairly ruthless to anybody inside the government that disagreed with him, and had a very tight circle of people around him who were basically his enforcers, people who he confided with. Anybody who was not in that group or who bucked the line was, you know, punished fairly quickly.
And you refer to that inner circle, crediting James Stewart as "Yes Rudies."
Yeah, that's the term that which even goes back as far as his prosecutor days. It's something he's been known for basically in every job he's ever had, that he likes to surround himself with, you know, a group of really close, it's usually all men. Some of those people are still around him today. Carrick was certainly one of them. And I think, you know, the effect of it is that they're not necessarily incompetent people. Some of them are very smart guys. But he just often doesn't have people around him who can say no to him or who can give him sort of an independent judgment on something. And I think one of the things that I argued in the piece was that part of this this whole you know, phenomenon of being in a cocoon of basically people who are yes men leads to sort of the abuse of the office in a similar way that, you know, in the Bush administration, they probably could not have accomplished what they did with the Department of Justice if they didn't have somebody like, you know, Alberto Gonzalez at the top of it, who was basically willing to sign off on anything that, you know, Dick Cheney's office asked him to do.
Mm-hmm.
So you see a similar sort of phenomenon with Rudy.
We're talking with Rachel Morris. She's an editor at Washington Monthly. If you have a question or comment about Giuliani or his campaign, give us a call toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. A moment ago, you made a reference to police activities, and one of the most grisly was the arrest and detention of Abner Louima, who was a Haitian immigrant who was taken to a precinct station and sodomized with a toilet plunger stick or something of that sort. And how does Giuliani's reaction to that episode, in your view, indicate his attitudes toward torture, the way the Bush administration has tried to divorce us from the Geneva Conventions, and the long-standing judicial principle of habeas corpus?
Well, you can look at that incident at the time and say, you know, he backed the police department sort of 100% on that one initially. And that, you know, you could draw some conclusions from that. But I guess it's not really that necessary to look back at something like the Louima incident for Giuliani's views on torture, because he has already stated in the campaign a number of times quite explicitly exactly what he thinks about torture, about habeas corpus, and some other sort of issues related to executive power. And he's, you know, laid out pretty specifically that, you know, he doesn't think that waterboarding is torture, even though he thinks, you know, as Dick Cheney has also said, that the United States doesn't torture. He thinks that if you have, you know, a situation where you have a suspected terrorist, you know, in your hands, you should do, I think his words are, you know, any method you can think of or whatever it takes. So I think, you know, it's his sort of thoughts on that are out there in the public record.
And do people perceive him as a fascist, or at least somebody with fascist leanings? And the definition of that, it's often a loaded term, is really the collusion between government and corporate power in a way that limits the influence or the rights of average citizens.
Well, I think definitely the kind of, in New York at the time, there were plenty of, references made in the local media that, you know, made comparisons between Giuliani and Mussolini. So I guess that sort of image is out there.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't really discourage it, does he?
Well, I imagine, I don't think it's, I mean, I don't know what his personal views on that are, but I think it's really easy to say that he has a, I guess, a very different conception of the idea of civil liberties than I guess we're used to, or we hear from many politicians. I mean, he said this numerous times, and his supporters say it too, but his idea of liberty is grounded in the idea of security. So he thinks of these questions as being, you know, liberty springs from security. Mm-hmm. And so you put the weight of the government into making people's lives secure. And if you are on sort of one side or the other, are on the side of security rather than liberty.
And that emphasis, as Bush has defined it, and I think Giuliani would extend it, is a misreading of the president's role, because, you know, their oath of office is not to keep America safe. It is to protect and defend the Constitution. And the framers and people like me believe that in turn will lead our leaders to make the right decisions in terms of security and safety. But the, you know, preeminent priority of a president is to defend and protect the Constitution. And we don't hear much about that, particularly from folks like Giuliani and even Mitt Romney, who is trying to parallel him on some of these issues.
Right.
Bruce Fein, who served in the Reagan administration, together with other Republicans, have put together the American Freedom Agenda. And they're asking presidential candidates to sign on to a 10-point pledge. So far, Giuliani has resisted that. And based on your reporting, I can't imagine that he'll ever change that. Richard in Santa Cruz, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show with Rachel Morris from Washington Monthly.
Oh, hi, Peter B. and guest. I had a quick question. I was on this Keurig thing. I would think that Keurig really wouldn't have had the authorization to give out contracts. It looks like there was one with the house and then another one with the garbage.
Well, let's say his name is
Giuliani.
His name is Carrick, and I just don't want to impugn Katie Couric in mispronouncing the name there.
But I would think he would not have the authority to give out contracts, so this may go even higher.
Well,
that surprises.
Rachel, it's not part of your article, but perhaps you can explain. There was a detailed piece in the New York Times last Saturday which explained that Carrick used his position to kind of broker deals for his pals, who then refurbished his home at the tune of almost $200,000, and another crony loaned him some money to buy a place in Manhattan.
Right. That's something in terms of how high that goes. That's not something that I looked into as part of my article. But so I guess I don't know much more than what's been reported on that so far.
Richard, mainly what Carrick was able to do was trade on his personal relationship with Rudy Giuliani. It was access more than that he was writing city contracts to cronies.
But would it surprise us if it went higher? Probably not.
Not me, but of course, you have to question Giuliani's judgment in promoting Carrick for Homeland Security Director even well after these things have been publicly exposed. We've got to take a break. We'll return with Rachel Morris from Washington Monthly. If you have a question about Rudy Giuliani, bring it on now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372.
You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Are you ready for America's mayor to become the next president of the United States? I'm not.
I feel a premonition. That girl's gonna make me fall. She's in some new sensations, new kicks in the candlelight. She's got new addictions for every day and night. She'll make you take your clothes off and go dancing in the rain. She'll make you live a crazy life, or she'll take away your pain like a bullet to your brain. Upside, inside out, living the vida loca.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Rachel Morris is an editor at Washington Monthly. She's written a powerful analytical piece about Rudy Giuliani and what she suspects he would do as president, grab more power, and many of us believe that the Bush-Cheney administration has been one of the most secretive in history. Rachel writes, once the city of New York even denied a Freedom of Information request, inquiring about how many Freedom of Information requests had been denied. Now that's layers and layers of secrecy. And Rachel, tell us about the gambit that Giuliani used under the New York City Charter. If there is a commission studying government reform or something along those lines, as long as that commission is impaneled, the public cannot bring initiatives or referenda to the ballot.
Right. That was, I guess, one of the sort of more ingenious things which I write about in the piece, in which Giuliani did during his time as mayor. But basically, under the city charter is sort of in effect the constitution of New York City, and it does have this, you know, in New York state law, there's this very obscure provision saying that, you know, if the mayor convenes some kind of commission, then the public can't put something on the ballot. So Giuliani, on three occasions, decided to convene a charter commission, which he did for two different reasons. One was he, on several attempts, wanted to actually rewrite the charter to give more power to his office and diminish the power of some of the mechanisms of oversight over City Hall. But it also gave him a really convenient way of not having to deal with, you know, ballot measures that the public, you know, may have wanted to have voted on that year. And basically, before Giuliani had been mayor, there had only been two such commissions convened by the mayor in the past 40 years, and Giuliani convened three, which were sort of not particularly prestigious either. So that was one of the more, I guess, one of the more interesting and sort of telling things about his approach to, you know, the limits on his office.
Now, many of us remember that in the rosy afterglow of the tragic events of 9/11, that Giuliani, enabled by the corporate media, propelled this image as a guy who was just too good to honor the end of his term, which was coming up there at the end of 2001. So he briefly flirted with the idea of, kind of like General Musharraf, trying to figure out how he could keep his uniform and stay on even longer. Now, to be fair, Giuliani didn't have a military uniform, but he did toy with the idea that he was so indispensable that New York needed him so badly that they should amend the city charter and let him stay on, even for a period of like 3 or 4 months. It just seems bizarre in retrospect.
Right. Well, at the time, I think, you know, at the time it was sort of a very different, even, you know, many liberals in New York sort of at first thought, well, maybe this wouldn't be so bad. Maybe it would be terrible to have somebody sort of step in just, you know, months after an attack and have to sort of take over, you know, the reins of government and, you know, maybe that's not a particularly desirable situation. But I think, you know, after, you know, fairly quickly people sort of realized that this would be an extremely unusual thing to do. And I think the other thing that's not really known about it is that, you know, at the time Giuliani presented it as something which, you know, people were asking him to do. And if, you know, if that's what people wanted, then he would go along with it. But he really lobbied to make that happen.
Well, and you identify Mark Green, who's now the president of Air America Radio, but who at the time was, civic ombudsman or public advocate in New York.
Public advocate.
And Giuliani put the pressure on him, and he actually caved and made some public statements saying, well, maybe it'd be okay.
Right. Yeah, Giuliani wanted to get all of the three leading candidates for mayor to give their approval to the idea, and Bloomberg said yes right away. And Green sort of, you know, thought about it. He was under a lot of pressure. He felt that Giuliani could really, if he refused, sort of use it against him in the election, so he decided to go along with it, which he, I guess, later regretted.
Yeah. So as you look at all this and sum up, Rachel, we've got a lot to be concerned about if our focus is the Constitution and the checks and balances that should be in place between the branches of government. Those have been upset like an apple cart by the Bush and Cheney administration.
Yeah, well, I think the sort of lesson of the Bush and Cheney administration, which you can also see if you go back and look at the Giuliani mayoralty, is that the system of checks and balances and separation of powers really only works if the parties within it act with a reasonable degree of good faith. I mean, of course, everybody is trying to, you know, sort of do the best for their own branch of government. But you have to have a certain you know, sort of a certain degree of trust that people will, you know, abide by sort of court decisions or, you know, that they will, if a limit is placed on their authority, that they will respect it. And that's something which, you know, the Bush administration has just, you know, decided to state unilaterally that it can act outside the law. Giuliani also had, you know, sort of similar moments where he found sort of very clever ways to circumvent the law or circumvent sort of checks on his power. And I think that is one of the primary questions people should be looking at as they sort of consider who to vote for in the 08 election.
Rachel, thank you for your contribution today. It's great to talk with you.
Thanks so much.
Rachel Morris, an editor at Washington Monthly. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Candidate Mike Gravel joins us next. Visit our website at peterbcollins.com with our exciting new podcast offerings. If you own a classic car,
or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
A staggering suicide rate among veterans.
If this is not a wake-up call for America and for Congress and for the VA, and especially the VA, I don't know what is.
The stock market rebounds.
This time it was a perfect storm for all the right reasons.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. An investigation by CBS News correspondent Armin Katayan turns up shocking numbers. In 2005, more than 6,200 military veterans took their own lives, 120 per week, twice the suicide rate of other Americans.
The other number that stuck out, and perhaps most significantly, was veterans aged 20 to 24, those most likely to have served during the War on Terror, are killing themselves when they come home at rates estimated to be 2.5 to almost 4 times higher than non-vets in the same age group.
One veterans' rights advocate says the numbers clearly show an epidemic of mental health problems.
I'm Barry Bagnato. For Tom Williams, leaving Iraq behind wasn't easy.
I spent the first 6 months I was back looking at the ground to make sure I didn't get my legs blown off.
Concerned initial tests were missing mental health problems, the Army began screening soldiers again up to 6 months after they returned. Post-traumatic stress grew by 50%, depression doubled. Colonel Charles Milliken led this groundbreaking study in the Journal of the American Medical Association.
Over 20% of soldiers were referred for further mental health care or were already under care at the time of the second screen.
It was twice that for National Guard and Reserve troops. The Pentagon hopes this unprecedented testing effort will reduce the stigma soldiers often feel about seeking help back home. Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Now this.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Does your company go through ink like water? Then Office Depot can take care of you. Office Depot guarantees to be in stock on a huge selection of all the top brands of ink. And you can save up to 40% every day on your ink purchases when you use your Work Life Rewards card. Buy multi-packs of ink and recycle 3 HP, Dell, or Lexmark ink cartridges. Work Life Rewards are paid quarterly in the form of an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Excludes HP ink. See store and visit myworkliferewards.com for details.
Sam's Club has cranberry pomegranate pork loin. Would that be good?
Oh, it's so good.
Why do you look like me?
I'm future you. And because of that pork loin, there are 10 very satisfied people in our living room.
But I only invited 5 people.
Word gets around.
Join us November 16th through the 18th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club. There are chef demonstrations, food samples, and party supplies. Sam's Club. Enjoy the possibilities. Join today to avoid the 10% service fee that applies to non-member purchases.
Cause for celebration on Wall Street, where the Dow jumped 319 points today. The Nasdaq soared up 89 points, or 3.5%. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says the market got some good news for a change.
We had a nice pullback in oil back below $92 a barrel. Strong earnings from Walmart, that was a surprise. And Goldman Sachs giving investors some hope in the credit crisis.
Goldman said it does not expect to take a big hit from the subprime mortgage meltdown. The price of crude oil plunged nearly $3.50. Analyst John Kilduff says there's been a major change in the economic forecast.
The International Energy Agency came in and reduced global demand outlook for the rest of this year and for 2008, globally and specifically for the U.S. and even for China.
The Energy Department says the average price for gasoline jumped nearly 10 cents last week to $3.11 a gallon. Attorney General Michael Mukasey, on the job just a few days, has reversed his predecessor Alberto Gonzalez by reopening an investigation of the government's warrantless wiretapping. New York Congressman Maurice Hinchey says he's delighted.
We finally have an attorney general who understands that he has
a specific obligation and responsibility to the people of this country, to the rule of law and the maintenance of the Constitution.
Hinchey and other Democrats have been demanding a probe to determine whether the spy program complies with the law. Hillary Clinton remains the front runner, but CBS News Director of Surveys Kathleen Frankovic tells us her main Democratic rivals are closing the gap in one early contest.
In Iowa, CBS News New York Times poll shows that among likely Democratic caucus goers, it's a three-way contest. Hillary Clinton, John Edwards, and Barack Obama, all within the margin of error.
Clinton's support is at 25%, followed by Edwards at 23% and Obama at 22%. Among Republicans likely to go to the January caucuses, Mitt Romney is ahead at 27%, Mike Huckabee has 21%, Rudy Giuliani is a distant third at 15%. The same poll found Clinton and Romney have commanding leads in New Hampshire. A 10-year-old boy playing with matches admitted starting one of the Southern California wildfires last month, but the Los Angeles DA's office has decided not to charge the boy, saying there's no evidence he intended to cause harm. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. If your company is searching for a few new chairs or furnishing an entire office, Hahn offers a wide range of products from file cabinets to executive desks to suites. Hahn knows your choice is a long-term investment. Its full line of thoughtfully designed products are adaptable, modular, and multi-purpose, maximizing flexibility in your office. Hahn, smart now, smarter later. For a free catalog or quote, visit gethahn.com. That's gethon.com. And I'll see you on the Osgood File.
Next time your grandkids ask if frogs have noses, what will you be thinking about? Hopefully not your Medicare plan. Review your plan and options during Medicare's open enrollment, November 15th to December 31st. Once you know you have the right plan, you can get on with the important things in life, like discussing amphibian facial features. For open enrollment details, consult your Medicare and You handbook. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Presidential elections are planned distractions to divert attention from the action behind the scenes. Like a game of chess when the house is a mess, or a petty money squabble when your marriage is in trouble, or a football game when there's rioting in the streets. It's just another movie, another song and dance, another poor sucker who never had a chance. It's just another captain going down with the ship. Just another jerk taking pride in his work.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Thanks for joining us this hour. Senator Mike Gravel returns to our program, Democratic candidate for President of these United States. Senator, how are you today?
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks. And we missed you in Philadelphia.
Well, it wasn't of my choosing.
I know that.
I think that the orders came down from General Electric that they didn't want a candidate talking about the military-industrial complex when they're one of the outstanding war profiteers in the American industry.
Now, is there still a General Electric? There was General Sarnoff at RCA, but I don't think there's an actual general there anymore, is there?
I don't think so either. But wait a second, that's not so. I'll bet you they've hired a lot of generals that have left the military that gone over to the private sector so that they can get the money and sell their products to the generals who were colonels when they were generals.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they rented a lot of generals for the coverage of the Shock and Awe campaign. We certainly saw them on TV. But, Mike, this is a critical issue because I do understand. I've actually organized these kind of debates at the level of the United States Senate. And when you organize them, there are difficult choices about who's a real contender and, you know, who fits. But at this stage of the race, not a single vote has been cast. So MSNBC made a determination based primarily on your fundraising and secondarily on your poll position. But let's discount the poll issue, because you're in a dead heat with Joe Biden and Chris Dodd, and Dennis Kucinich is just a couple of points ahead of you
in the
national name recognition polls. And so it really did come down to an issue that they're saying you're not rich enough to participate, either because of personal means or fundraising through campaigns or accepting, you know, PAC or lobbyist contributions. They basically made the determination that people shouldn't hear your views because you don't have enough money.
But by comparison, if you'll notice that all of the others except Edwards are still in office when they lose the president's nomination. So people who invest money in them, they can't lose. They're always going to have their ear while they live out their terms in Congress. Isn't it interesting, Peter, that everybody knows that the criteria that's corrupting our political system is money. Money's corrupting the system. And so you get a determination made by media corporations and their owners that we're going to judge who has a chance to be president by how much money they've raised, or put it another way, in code, how corrupt they are, because money is the corrupting influence.
Yeah. Now, Mike, I hope that somebody will step forward who's a legal eagle who would take this case. It'll take 2 or 3 years to really prosecute it. But somebody really should, on your behalf, challenge the decision that NBC made. And here's one of the issues that I see, that they very cleverly used their cable channel, MSNBC, as the originator of the debate. But they brought on their main anchor from the NBC network, Tim Russert, to conduct the debate. And in the way they've done this, they are skirting the laws that govern broadcast licensed facilities. That's over-the-air television. So if they had done this on the main NBC network and broadcast it on NBC-owned and operated stations, I believe they would have had to adhere to the Communications Act of 1934, which essentially would not have permitted them to unilaterally force you off the stage.
I think you're entirely right, Peter. And I couldn't agree more. The problem is that I don't have the resources to litigate it. Mm-hmm. I would hope that there's some attorney within the sound of my voice who might want to get involved, and I think that that we could go after not only NBC but their owners, General Electric, and they've got deep pockets. And so, if there's some attorneys that want to pursue this, I would cooperate. But I don't have the resources nor the time to do this at this point in time.
Sure, I understand. Now, are you invited to Thursday night's debate in Iowa?
No, I'm not.
And who made
the rubber hits the road?
Who made that call? I'm not sure who's sponsoring that debate.
Well, let's make that's CNN.
CNN.
If you recall, they tried to put me out on the debate in New Hampshire, but then they backed down because of pressure from the public. But what's happened now is the elements of what could be a conspiracy. It's interesting that the debate with MSNBC, we contacted the office of Chairman Dean of the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. We asked them, since this is a sanctioned Democratic Party sanctioned debate, we asked them, are you going to step in and address this problem, which is one of corporate censorship and one of free speech? They backed down and said very simply to a staff person, well, it wasn't our decision. That's not so. The decision to sanction these debates was made by the leadership of the Democratic Party, and now you get the second sanctioned debate, and then the next one in Los Angeles, which is a sanctioned Democratic Party debate, and I am cut out of both of them. And isn't it interesting? There are other debates in January where it's not sanctioned, and I'm part of the debates. And the embarrassment's going to get even worse, Peter, because on Thursday night, after the debate, I will be appearing on the podium with the other 7 Democratic presidential nominees at the Clark County Jefferson Jackson Day Dinner. Mm-hmm. And so the Democrats of Nevada are treating me more fairly than is the Democratic leadership of the party in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. And I really think we need to have very clear and transparent ground rules, because these are critical issues, Mike. I believe that you have brought a voice that is not constrained by corporate influences and by big money. You're not a toady to the Democratic Party, and it makes you dangerous. And I like that.
Well, but the people who feel the danger, whether it's the other candidates, and let me point this out, that can you imagine all these people want to be president of the United States, and they're tone deaf with respect to corporate censorship or with respect to just plain free speech in the democratic electoral process? All of these other seven candidates should be ashamed of themselves.
Now, Mike, you had a clever response in Philadelphia. You rented a restaurant or a hall down the street. You had a big screen TV and a TiVo, and I didn't get to watch you watch the debate, but from what I understand, you provided a real-time commentary by pausing the TiVo machine and talking back to the talking heads.
That's right, and of course, that cost us $20,000, which took two-thirds of our campaign account. But let me point out to you, that was the first time in history that was done in the political area. And I really didn't know what we were doing, by and large. I didn't know that the technology would be able to do it till about midday of the debates. So nobody knew about it. Oh, a lot of people were blogging. But right now, we have announced, as of Monday in a press release, that we're going to have the Senator Gravel alternate debate. And it's going to be, and we don't need a big hall. We're not going to have to pay for this. We're going to use the green room that the Democratic Party is providing me for the banquet.
Uh-huh.
And in that green room, and we'll invite some media, anybody who wants to attend. Peter, if you're there, please come in. And what we're going to do is we're going to do the same thing, only we understand the technology a little better than what we did before. But it's still complex, and it really takes two brains to operate it, one
mm-hmm.
brain to listen and another brain to talk about it, and I'll do the best I can.
But, with your single brain.
I find it interesting.
Now, Mike, maybe you need to do some theatrical staging here, and I'm drawing on two recent events. One was the phony FEMA news conference in San Diego. You remember that? Where the FEMA guy got up and had his employees ask him questions. They claimed there just weren't any reporters around.
Yeah.
And so you could set up your own FEMA news conference and then have people ask you pre-planned softball questions just like Hillary and George W. do.
Peter, you're too diabolical. You're exposing these people for what they are. And I'll tell you the truth, you know, it sounds great, but I don't have the stomach for that kind of crap.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Mike, I got about 1 minute till the break here. If you were in that debate tomorrow night, what's the most critical point that you would like to make that is not being made by the other candidates right now?
One is the imminence of war with Iran. This is still, as you know, I raised that before anybody else, right at the day that the vote took place. And so... Oh, Edwards and a few of the others have beat on. But stop and think. It's not just Hillary. Sure, she voted wrong. But understand that it's the Democratic Party that brought this vote about and passed it. And the Democratic Party, like it did with the Iraq War, has given George Bush the ability to go to war. And that's not a small... And I'll be raising this at the dinner and, of course, in the debate itself, if it's not raised. It's not just Hillary. Oh, she's terrible. But then so is the rest of the Democratic Party that's in control today. And people should know this, and I want a party to correct itself. And if it can't correct itself, then that's the end of the Democratic Party, believe me.
All right, Mike Gravel is with us, former senator from Alaska, now a Democratic candidate for president, excluded again from a CNN-sponsored debate in Iowa this Thursday night. And we're happy to give him voice here and honor his First Amendment rights and yours to hear him. We'll open up the phones here in the next segment. If you'd like to ask a question or make a comment, do it now. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. You dial 1-888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
A radio show for the whole family. not dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Hi, this is Paul.
And Cynthia.
Of the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden. And we'd like to thank you for supporting this locally owned and operated Carmel business for nearly 40 years.
Nestled in Carmel by the Sea, the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden occupy a beautiful space on Dolores between 5th and 6th, showcasing an array of books on local interests, new releases, bestsellers, novels, children's, metaphysical, and much more. Plus, you'll enjoy taking a good look at our music, healing tools, cards, statuary, fountains, and more.
Proud to be a part of the Carmel business community, we invite you to see us soon.
Pilgrim's Way offers one-on-one intuitive counseling in the bookstore. You may call ahead for an appointment or just walk in. Whether you're a local resident or a visitor to our beautiful peninsula, we have something for everyone.
The Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore and Secret Garden, between 5th and 6th on Dolores.
Discover an imaginative adventure. Pick up a good read at the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale from 12-Step Talk Uncensored. Saturdays from 4 to 5 p.m., listen as we deal with life-changing issues that affect all of us. Our fears, passions, anger, addictions, the law of attraction, and how we change ourselves so we can live an extraordinary life. Join me, Sheila Gale, as we share tools for change that work. 12-Step Talk Uncensored, Life 105, Saturdays 4 to 5, brought to you by Sun Street Centers, with education, prevention, and treatment for alcohol and drug addiction.
Every Sunday morning at 10, check out Rock Roller Real Estate, America's favorite real estate show. Learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are. Rock Roller Real Estate, every Sunday morning at 10. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. For more information, stop by our website at rockrollerrealestate.com. Rock Roller Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
And there it is, the traffic music. So that means traffic is upon us. Let's get to it. Let's start off with the Santa Cruz Mountains, where we have absolutely 110% nothing to talk about, which is good. Traffic moving well in both directions, northbound and southbound. Those are the directions. Corralitos, Freedom Boulevard at Corralitos Road. We have a box truck. It's completely stalled out. It's blocking the left lane. And they're going to need a special tow truck to apparently move that vehicle out of those lanes there. In Aptos, southbound 1 at Soquel Drive, a two-car crash has been cleared from the right lane to the right shoulder. CHP is on the scene. In fact, they're taking a report as we speak. Some sort of problem in Santa Cruz, Pasatiempo at Hollins Drive. It's a grass fire reportedly in the area. The fire department units are on the way to the scene there. Traffic on KRXA.
The gospel according to Grace Jones. Mike Gravel is with us. He served two terms in the U.S. Senate from Alaska, and he's a Democratic candidate for president, as we covered in the first segment. He's been excluded from the last debate and the one that is scheduled for this Thursday night coming from Iowa. But he does fight on. And, Mike, I agree with you about your concern about the Bush administration's intentions toward Iran. And it's one of the reasons that I support Dennis Kucinich in his effort to get the Congress to study and pursue impeachment, starting with Vice President Cheney. What do you think of that effort and the way Nancy Pelosi has tried to deflect it, and the Democratic leadership got deeply embarrassed by the bizarre tactics of the Republicans last week when they had to scramble to prevent a debate from breaking out about Kucinich's impeachment resolution?
Well, first off, the leadership controls what can be done. That's Pelosi, and with Conyers, the head of the judiciary. It's very sad. At least Henry Waxman is making the effort to figure out what the fraud was and the criminality of the Bush administration. But that's something that needs to be pursued by Conyers with the Judiciary Committee. When there's not a will to do that, and there isn't, it's very sad. Now, Dennis, in his tactics, has brought some attention to it, but those tactics aren't going to work, unfortunately. But the people out on the streets calling for impeachment do help a great deal. They create a climate that hopefully that the Congress will react upon, but it doesn't seem to be working in that regard. We've got a little bit of the situation that occurred during the Vietnam, and that is where we had a lot of people in the streets protesting, but it really created a climate that pressured Bush into making a decision to withdraw. Well, the same thing could happen with this. People protesting, the Democrats protesting, maybe will push the leadership to do this. Tactically, I think they're wrong in not doing something. But
I think Pelosi should just say, I release my caucus, follow your conscience, and we will allow the will of the people as voiced by their representatives to call the shots here.
She should and could do that if she wanted to. But I just don't truly know why she's not doing it. I really don't.
Now, Senator, also related to Iran, Congressman Jim McDermott of Washington State has proposed that Congress itself participate in war games, which would help us understand the different scenarios of a military assault on Iran, because it's often described in our media like it's some video game, and we can just throw missiles and bombs at Iran, and nothing will happen. And I think McDermott's on to a very interesting idea there to force both Democrats and Republicans to study the consequences. We've had no debate and no real, honest, open reporting on what can occur if Bush gets his way.
Well, and Peter, you should note that that came up, the Lieberman Amendment just came up without notice and was passed immediately after over the objections of Webb, Senator Webb from Virginia,
yeah,
who pointed out that this is illegal. And it was not necessary. We'd already, the UN had already sanctioned these people. No, what was going on? And think of it now. Immediately they bring it up. There's no notice. And it's essentially giving Bush the power to go to war. And it's brought up by Lieberman, the same guy that brought up the Iraqi resolution and brought about that war. And what do you get? You get the majority leader, Reid. You get the majority whip. You get the chairman of the committee. You get the Senate finance, the Senate campaign chairman. And then you get Hillary. And 70, all told, it was 76, the same number of people that voted for the Iraq War.
Yeah.
Now, that happened, orchestrated, so quickly so people couldn't notice it. I only wish that Webb had filibustered it and bought a couple days so people could focus on this decision. But no, now the stuff is out there. Bush can go to war anytime he wants. And look at the drumbeat. You get the head of Britain, Gordon Brown, said it's okay to invade. We get Sarkozy of France, it's okay to invade.
We got a poll says 52% of Americans support an invasion, or
that's
at least
right,
a military attack.
Well, because of the drumbeat and the newspapers, like the Washington Post, that give some legitimacy to this, like we really are having a dialogue with diplomacy And obviously, they'll wait a little longer, and come next spring, they'll say, well, we've tried with diplomacy, yeah. Now we really got to act.
Yeah.
The stupid part of this is that Iran is not a threat to us in the slightest.
Yes, and Landay in the McClatchy newspapers established that last week. Mike Revelle, thanks for joining us. Best wishes to you, and we'll keep pushing for you.
Thank you very much, Peter. Take care.
Mike Revelle, presidential candidate on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Surge accomplished. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. The figures are coming in. They look good. Violence in Iraq has gone down. We may have lost more soldiers this year than in any year since the war began, but the monthly rate is down. Fewer Iraqis are dying. There are reports that neighborhoods are reviving. And I know the words may stick in some people's throats, but it's time to say the surge has worked. Come on, say it. The surge has worked. I don't know, some of you will argue that these figures only show the violence is down to where it was before the surge, but this is not the time for such arguments. It is time to say the surge has worked, because that fulfills the conditions laid out exactly 2 months ago.
The principle guiding my decisions on troop levels in Iraq is return on success. The more successful we are, the more American troops can return home.
Violence down, shops reopening. Sounds like success to me. And if you still can't bring yourself to say it, look at these numbers. Congress's Joint Economic Committee says the total cost of the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, including the effects on oil prices, interest on the money we've borrowed, and the cost of treating wounded veterans totals $1.5 trillion so far, more than twice the cost of Vietnam. Continuing the war for 10 more years would be another $2 trillion. Now, do you believe the surge has worked? Because otherwise, the cost goes to more than $10,000 for every man, woman, and child in the country. Although, with all the borrowing, most of the bill goes to the child, so I hope you've at least upped the kid's allowance. It's only fair. Now this.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty good job, innit, when you think about it? I mean, basically, I help people save money, don't I? Like, I tell people they can save hundreds by switching to Geico. They go to geico.com, maybe save all this money on car insurance, and the next thing you know, I'm, like, invited to their wedding or whatever. One bloke actually asked me to be his best man. Dear, oh dear. Point is, if you want loads of friends, giving away money, it's not a bad idea.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Karma Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid Karma Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Karma Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid Karma Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
At Homescapes Carmel, we search far and near to find the best locally made, American-made, and imported furnishings the world has to offer. I'm Thompson Lang, and my brother Beau and I scour the globe to find unique, unusual, and unmatched merchandise to help you personalize your home and garden. We're proud to offer a variety of products such as cabinets, lamps, and vases made with bamboo, plantation teak, and other renewable and reclaimed resources. These items are beautiful, durable, and most of all, eco-friendly. So stop by Homescapes Carmel on the corner of 7th and Dolores, or visit homescapescarmel.com.
Love.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
We play music during the breaks here while you hear commercials. And I had James Brown going there doing a man's world. And one of his grunts popped up there right at the end. Sorry.
Ow!
I don't know about you, but I really miss James Brown. We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Jason Leopold joins us every week about this time. Investigative managing editor, something like that, at truthout.org. And he's also the author of a personal memoir called News Junkie. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay today. Congratulations to you on your exclusive video interview with Valerie Wilson.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it was, trying to get that going for a while. So I was happy that finally was able to land that.
Yeah.
And I think it went well.
I've only gotten to watch part one. I've got it queued up to a point that we'll roll here in a couple of minutes. But, Jason, I want to give you credit because you sat down with her and she wasn't terribly responsive on this set of questions that you asked.
Yeah.
But you were honest about, hey, I'm the guy who reported that Karl Rove got indicted.
Right.
And, again, I don't think she was particularly responsive to your questions in that area. But I just give you a lot of credit because there are a lot of reporters who would want to sweep that one under the rug or shred it and say, you know, it never happened. But
yeah, I've found that it would be hard, for me at least, hard to ignore that 800-pound gorilla in the room. I mean, it was obviously a big story. To this day, there continues to be fallout from it. This was my first opportunity to speak with her in person and, at least bring that up to ask her specifically what she has been told.
Right.
Whether or not she had any conversations with, Patrick Fitzgerald, the special prosecutor. And, you know, and let's remember, this is she was a covert CIA operative whose business was gathering intelligence. I was interested to find out whether she did any of that, specifically as it related to Karl Rove. And, at the same time, to just acknowledge the fact that, this is a story I reported, and at least see if she could shed any additional light on what's happening.
Yeah.
Now, I do want to say, Peter, that, to this day, obviously, we've never seen a letter. We've never seen any of the information that was passed back and forth between Patrick Fitzgerald and Karl Rove's attorney. And I have filed a Freedom of Information Act request just to at least see if we can obtain that letter, in addition to the calendars that Karl Rove had, for that particular day.
Mm-hmm.
For me at least, it's obviously personal. To at least have a bit of closure there.
Yeah.
And I think people would at least like to know, what's happening.
Well, and the awkward thing is, Jason, is that your report has never been directly contradicted. I mean, we know that there is, as a matter of fact, that as of this date, Karl Rove has not been indicted and that Fitzgerald has disbanded his investigation, so it's probably safe to say he shall not be indicted.
Right. I think that's very safe to say.
But at the time, you had what I believe were good sources. I don't know exactly what they were, but I take you at your word.
Yeah.
And also, there was this murky factor of the sealed indictment that was labeled sealed versus sealed.
Right.
And we've never really seen that unraveled.
No, and we haven't. And those are some of the important questions that I still think, it's amazing that it's really been, it's been a year and a half since that story came out. And, every now and then I will get something in my email box and from someone who said, hey, I saw this posting out there on a blog, where people have, commented on when they're commenting on journalism or when they're commenting on why, they should not believe a certain story, they, use the Karl Rove story as an example. I think it's a really poor example because, again, you know, this was a story that came from, you know, good sources. Obviously, as you said, you know, it's Karl Rove is not going to be indicted. The investigation is disbanded. But there are still serious unanswered questions that, you know, deserve to be asked and hopefully can be answered.
And if I were Valerie Wilson, I would not be satisfied with the work that Pat Fitzgerald did.
No, and she was very, I have to say that I was somewhat surprised because she was very complimentary, and she certainly is complimentary of him in her book. I believe that she was hesitant. You know, she's someone at this point who is probably not fully used to the being in the spotlight, and certainly never had to go out there and speak critically of anyone. But I did find that she was uncomfortable in speaking critically of anyone in that capacity as Patrick Fitzgerald, unless I pressed her on it. You know, George Tenet is just a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought that up in our interview, and, you know, she said that he has certain issues, and, you know, I had to go back to it and say, let's get back to George Tenet. What are these issues that that you think he needs to deal with?
Well, I've been watching with some fascination the series of interviews, and hopefully us lower on the food chain here in the media are going to get a shot at Valerie Wilson sometime in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and also I should say that, you know, the video, it's two parts. It's a total of about 20 minutes. I sat with her for an hour, so it was a really, we had a very lengthy conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I did think that that she had a lot to say. I think one of the, for me, something that was I found very interesting was when, you know, I asked her, what are some of the questions for you that remain unanswered?
Mm-hmm.
And
well, in fact, that's what I have queued up. Shall we listen?
Yeah, sure.
You set me right up and you didn't even know it. We're talking with Jason Leopold from truthout.org, and the video clip I'm about to play is right up there at truthout.org today.
Yeah. What else for you remains in terms of some unanswered questions?
Well, a couple things. I'd like to know who originally passed my name from the CIA through and to the office of the vice president, and under what circumstances? How did that happen? I'd like to know, why did Novak go with my maiden name, Plame, in his...
Now, Jason, this is the first time I've heard that raised.
Yeah, that was actually, that's why it stuck out for me, because perhaps maybe early on, people have maybe been discussing it, but certainly haven't thought about it.
Yeah, Bill Maher didn't ask that. Chris Matthews didn't ask that. It wasn't on 60 Minutes. All right, we'll continue here.
The original article. I always thought that was strange.
Now, can you explain, like, how he would have...
No, I can't.
Okay.
I have no idea. When I married, I took my married name and...
Valerie Wilson is what... Is,
that's
is
correct.
Who you
and
would
then he used Valerie Plame. And so I don't have any insight into how that happened.
Was
I'd
it
like,
just the CIA who knew that obviously that was your maiden name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, the CIA. It was only the CIA that knew that I worked for them and my maiden
right.
name was Plame. And the other thing I'd love to know is, what did President Bush know about all of this?
Yeah. Can you describe the threats that you were receiving? Were they?
All right, we'll come back to the threats part here. But that last question is the real money shot.
Right. Exactly.
What did Bush know?
President Bush know?
Yeah.
And certainly to this day, we have no idea what President Bush knew. I mean, we do know that in October 2003, he had said publicly that this is a town full of leakers, and it's unlikely that we'll find a leaker. But I did think that, what she said about Robert Novak and how he found out that her name was Plame and why they used Plame. And, you know, I went back and started checking some of the public documents out, and Robert Novak had said that he found her name as Valerie Plame in Who's Who, which, you know, seemed a bit unlikely or a good cover story at the time. But in the documents that were passed back and forth, particularly the original document that came from that the State Department had passed to Richard Armitage and was passed to the Vice President's office. This was a document that actually said Valerie Wilson, and it did not say Valerie Plame on it. And so when there was that bit of a chuckle when I Valerie Plame's chuckle when I said, well, it was only the CIA that obviously knew your maiden name. She, you know, it was important because, yeah, it was the CIA that was the only agency that knew that her maiden name was Plame.
Now, Jason, I'm thinking back, and I believe it was Ari Fleischer who testified about this at the Libby trial. I could be wrong, but that's what I recall, that he was on a flight, a lengthy flight that they took to Africa, which
right.
I place in July 11th or 12th,
right.
Just a few days after Wilson's op-ed piece had appeared in the New York Times. And on that flight were Ari Fleischer, the president, and Colin Powell, probably others, but those are the people I recall. And I believe Fleischer indicated that he reviewed a memo that had her name in it and the fact that she worked at the CIA, and that in the margin next to that was the standard designation, I believe the letter S or something like
correct.
That, saying that this was secret.
Yes.
Do we know if that memo named her as Plame or Wilson?
That memo, by the way, is the same memo that Richard Armitage got a hold of and that was also passed over to the Vice President's office, and it did say Valerie Wilson. So I do think she brings up a valid, good question. You know, how did Plame, how is it that when the documents that they had in their hand said Wilson, did Plame suddenly, you know, become the name that they used when that was her maiden name and she took her married name? And in addition to that, you know, I think that when she said that how her name was actually brought up, she was under non-official cover. It's a need to know basis in terms of passing her name, status, etc., over to various officials. So that's another interesting point, and I'm sure there'll be, you know, this is a story that's gone on for years, and it still appears to have a bit of life left in it. But again, you know, one thing that the public doesn't know is who at the CIA or who is responsible for actually, you know, digging her name up and passing it along.
We're talking with Jason Leopold here on the Peter B. Collins Show. He's from truthout.org. That's the site where you can review this video for yourself. Two parts, his interview with Valerie Wilson. And, Jason, I believe it was in another part of segment one where you asked her about her suspicions about the role of the vice president and his office, and that she seemed to deflect a little bit.
Yeah, that was, obviously, I had 3 pages of questions, Peter, and I went right into the fact that does she believe that they declassified her name? As we had this conversation before a while back,
yes, we did.
And the vice president, you know, claimed that he had the authority to declassify at will. We know that the National Intelligence Estimate was selectively declassified, passed along to Judith Miller, in order to rebut the allegations that Joe Wilson had lodged, you know, against the administration. So if they felt that they could do that, declassify the highly coveted National Intelligence Estimate, well, you know, did they declassify her name and her status? So I wanted to see what she thought, and the answer was, I would say it was a little bit disappointing. I mean, she said that, you know, I don't know.
yeah.
My feeling is that, you know, you have an opinion. Certainly you have a gut feeling.
Mm-hmm.
She is, again, she's somebody who clearly works in the intelligence gathering business, but, you know, on a psychological level, you know what your gut tells you.
We're talking with Jason. We'll continue in just a moment. If you have a question or comment about Valerie Wilson, call her Plame. It's all right with me. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. Puts you through to the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com. Terry MacArthur of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry MacArthur is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773. The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Walt just got off the phone with the folks from the CHP who tell us that we do have a problem being reported, and it is in, Santa Cruz, Paso Tiempo at Holland's got the grass fire reportedly in the area. Fire department is on scene at this point. Everything pretty much under control, though. Looks like we have Santa Cruz southbound one at Morrissey Boulevard, accident right shoulder. Monterey County, eastbound 68, after Santa Benicio. It is a pickup truck and a car involved in an accident, and everything's off to the shoulder. Watsonville, Eureka Canyon at Lower Highland Road. A vehicle hit a deer. The deer is still in the lanes, so heads up for that particular problem. Santa Cruz Mountains, no problems to report. And northbound Highway 1 between Monterey and Carr southbound direction looking pretty good at this point.
No fighting.
We got the refugees.
No fighting. No fighting. Shakira, Shakira.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, dancing around the studio here with Shakira. We're talking with Jason Leopold. His video interview with Valerie Wilson is powerful, but you can't really dance to it. Let's listen to another excerpt here. Oh, I got to click on this one here. I got too many mice going.
The threats that you were receiving, were they threats on your life?
I can't go into detail for obvious reason.
The reasons, are they classified? Are they secret? Or?
I think for security reasons. It doesn't make any sense to provide more information than I really should. But I will say this. In the spring of 2004, we received some very serious, very credible threats against me, and curiously enough, against tenant Ashcroft and Rove. And it was so serious that I finally went to the head of CIA security and requested additional security on our residence, because that's where we were most vulnerable, of course. And the agency denied it. And I can tell you, I was heartbroken because they make a big deal out of being a family and so forth. The other three targets, Ashcroft, Tenet, and Rove, already had 24/7 security, two from work, two from their kids' school, whatever. I had none of that, and it felt very lonely. And, of course, as a parent, your child's security is paramount.
You said that you requested additional security, so you had
I'm sorry if I wasn't clear.
Okay.
Any security on my residence.
So they denied you any security whatsoever.
They did say at the time we were living in Washington, D.C., that they would have more patrol cars go by our house.
Oh, Jason, that's really hung out to dry. I mean, to say that the D.C. cops are going to provide security, I'm sorry. The Metropolitan Police in Washington are not the greatest, you know, men and women wearing badges and guns.
Yeah, yeah.
But that is stunning that... Go ahead.
It's actually, you know, I could tell that she was still sort of shocked at the fact that they denied her additional security. And, you know, in addition to that, it begs the question, were they, you know, if she was under that sort of threat, well, clearly it would appear to have been a life-threatening situation. Were they just didn't care if somebody, you know, was out to get her or out to assassinate her? I know that sounds just dramatic, but that's certainly what it what I think she was implying there.
Yeah. Now, Jason, as I mentioned, I haven't had time to review part two of your video interview. Any highlights there that you want to mention?
Well, yeah, we were actually discussing, I think in part two, we were discussing the situation with Iran, and she had worked on counterproliferation issues related to Iran, and I had asked her whether, you know, she believed that Iran posed a threat to our, you know, to the United States, as certainly, you know, the neocons and Vice President Cheney and George Bush have claimed. And, you know, again, she did say that she believed that Iran, what they really want is a, quote, modicum of respect. But she did believe that it was, you know, that they were not pursuing a peaceful energy, enriching uranium for peaceful purposes. And she feels that the situation, the disastrous situation in Iraq is sort of tied her hands in order to deal with Iran. But she did say that, you know, this country can afford to speak to its, you know, to its enemies, and that's, you know, what should happen. The, you know, military solution would not be the right way to go.
Mm-hmm.
She could not go into detail because it's still classified on exactly what she was doing or, you know, what she had found out. And then in addition to that, you know, I asked her, how is it that with Iraq that the media and the intelligence got it all wrong?
Well, and in one of the earlier interviews I saw, she claimed that it wasn't until Colin Powell's speech that alarm bells went off in her head, that she kind of believed that there were people, you know, compartmentalized and separated from her at the agency who must have had other information.
Right.
And it doesn't quite square, because you would think that the alarm bells would have gone on a couple of weeks earlier around the 16 words in the State of the Union message. But she said...
Yeah, she actually did say that. She actually said that for her, the alarm bells went off, you know, earlier.
Okay.
So I don't know if there's just a difference there, or perhaps, you know, maybe the Colin Powell thing just, you know, drove it home. But, you know, she did say that, you know, she spoke to some people. There were some, she heard about cherry-picking intelligence, and certainly, you know, what she felt was when the 16 words were, you know, about Niger, President Bush claiming that Iraq was trying to acquire uranium from Niger, that did she miss something? Did somehow she and her colleagues miss some sort of intelligence someplace?
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that her answer about you know, how it all went wrong was good.
Well, and what comes across is that she was not some sort of an outspoken opponent of the Bush administration. At least from her representations, she was a team player at the CIA, and she was looking for those WMD in Iraq.
Right, exactly. She clearly, clearly was engaged in that issue and that trying to uncover nuclear proliferation.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought that she was doing a great job until suddenly they leaked her identity.
Jason, great work. I want people to go to truthout.org and watch the video. We'll talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Peter. I appreciate it.
Jason Leopold here on the Peter B. Collins Show. And by the way, Truthout's got its fundraiser underway if you can help.
Hemp, the superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp. This God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. We know many military veterans come home troubled, but these findings are stunning. CBS News investigative correspondent Armin Katayan reports.
No one had ever counted just how many suicides there are nationwide among those who have served in the military. Until now, a five-month CBS News investigation, based upon a detailed analysis of data obtained from death records in 2004 and 2005, found overall veterans were more than twice as likely to commit suicide in 2005 as non-vets. It was part of a set of numbers that stunned everyone from Senator Patty Murray.
That's a lot of young men and women who've gone to fight for us, who've come home and found themselves that lost.
To veterans' rights advocate Paul Sullivan.
This is pulling the fire alarm to say our veterans need help now.
Armin Katayan, CBS News, New York.
A new Pentagon study paints a troubling picture of troops returning from war. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has that.
This study finds 6 months after an initial mental health screening, problems are expanding among soldiers back from Iraq. Post-traumatic stress, a 50% increase. Depression rates, double. The biggest increase comes in the area of personal conflicts. There's a fourfold jump in the number of soldiers reporting marital or other relationship problems.
The study found more readjustment problems for National Guard troops and reservists than for active duty soldiers. A U-turn on Wall Street. After days of decline, the Dow jumped 319 points to close at 13,307. CBS News business reporter Alexis Christopher says the market got some encouraging news.
Goldman Sachs led the charge there. It's a major Wall Street brokerage firm, and it said it does not plan any significant write-downs on mortgage-related assets. And that helped to ease the jitters that investors have been having over the credit crunch.
Also, Walmart reported an 8% jump in quarterly profits and raised its forecast for the holidays. And the price of crude oil plummeted $3.50 after a report that global demand is falling. Georgia has looked to Washington for help getting through this drought, and today the state appealed to a higher authority. Outside the state capitol in Atlanta, a church choir sang "What a Mighty God We Serve," and Governor Sonny Perdue led the prayers for rain.
I'm here today to appeal to you and to all Georgians and all people who believe in the power of prayer to ask God to shower our state, our region, our nation with the blessings of water.
Forecasters say it will take a miracle for Georgia to get any significant rain this week. Habla español, parlez-vous français? More American college students do. A survey by the Modern Language Association of America finds enrollment in language courses up nearly 13% over 4 years, and the fastest growing language is Arabic, with 24,000 students enrolled in 466 different programs. The price of gold down $6 today to $801 an ounce. This is CBS News.
Attention men. Match.com has too many women. This is not a drill. We created a marketing campaign to attract as many of the most captivating women as possible. Well, it worked. Now we have more on our site than ever in recorded history. The odds are in your favor, and at Match.com, we're willing to bet on them. If you don't find someone special within 6 months, we'll give you 6 months free. So go ahead. It's okay to look. Only at Match.com. See site for details.
Next time your grandkids ask if frogs have noses, what will you be thinking about? Hopefully not your Medicare plan. Review your plan and options during Medicare's open enrollment, November 15th to December 31st. Once you know you have the right plan, you can get on with the important things in life, like discussing amphibian facial features. For open enrollment details, consult your Medicare and You handbook. Call 1-800-MEDICARE or visit Medicare.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Breathe too much carbon monoxide and it can kill you, but carbon monoxide is used to make some packaged meats look attractive in the supermarket butcher case, and CBS News correspondent Dan Revive tells us that sparked a controversy on Capitol Hill today.
Consumer activists told the House subcommittee that federal regulators have approved deceptive packaging.
Meat packaged with carbon monoxide might be very unsafe, but the consumer would never question this because of its artificial bright red color.
Nancy Donnelly of Chicago, whose son died of E. coli poisoning, the heads of big food companies, including Gregory Page of Cargill, said this packaging method reduces microbes. The buyer should obey the use or freeze by date, and
color is not an indicator of freshness.
Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
It was sort of like going from the frying pan into the fire for a suspected burglar fleeing police in South Florida. They say he jumped into a lake only to be attacked and killed by an alligator. Divers recovered the body. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Taking care of business, Office Depot.
Does your company go through ink like water? Then Office Depot can take care of you. Office Depot guarantees to be in stock on a huge selection of all the top brands of ink. And you can save up to 40% every day on your ink purchases when you use your Work Life Rewards card. Buy multi-packs of ink and recycle three HP, Dell, or Lexmark ink cartridges. Work Life Rewards are paid quarterly in the form of an Office Depot reward card when you earn a minimum of $10 in rewards. Excludes HP ink. See store and visit myworklifereward.com for details.
Sam's Club has cranberry pomegranate pork loin. Would that be good?
Oh, it's so good.
Why do you look like me?
I'm future you. And because of that pork loin, there are 10 very satisfied people in our living room.
But I only invited 5 people.
Word gets around.
Join us November 16th through the 18th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club. There are chef demonstrations, food samples, and party supplies. Sam's Club. Enjoy the possibilities. Join today to avoid the 10% service fee that applies to non-member purchases.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We are heading into the free speech zone this hour. Your calls and comments are welcome on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. One thing leads to another. Our toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Every week we get an update from Melanie Sloan. She's Executive Director of CREW. That stands for Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. There is a shortage, and she's working on pointing that out. Melanie, welcome to our program today.
Here.
Good to talk with you again. And you've got a little victory underway here. It looks like you have prevailed in a battle against the White House, at least temporarily. You got yourselves a TRO, a temporary restraining order, telling the White House, do not destroy those emails and other documents.
Right, and this is a very exciting victory for us. I think we've talked about it a little bit in the past. But what happened here is between 2003 and 2005, the White House, quote, lost over 5 million emails. And the Office of Administration, which is the White House tech office, then gave the White House Counsel's Office a plan to recover all of those emails, and they refused to undertake it. So the emails were never put back. And this is important because these are historical records that, in fact, belong to you and me and all your listeners. They're what we call presidential records, and they don't belong to any particular person. They're supposed to be preserved for history. So Crew sued the Office of Administration earlier in the year, trying to discover what happened to all of the email and what the recovery plan was for those email. We couldn't actually get the emails themselves, but we could find out the details about them. Well, when we sued under the Freedom of Information Act for that, then the White House suddenly said, oh, that office, Office of Administration, that's not subject to the Freedom of Information Act anymore, even though it says on our own website that it is.
Hmm.
So that was part one. So we have this ongoing suit about the Office of Administration and all the plans. But then it started, when we started talking to the Justice Department lawyers who were handling the case, we were asking about what had, we wanted to be sure that everything was being preserved. And they started parsing their words. They were very careful. They said, well, nothing has been destroyed since you instituted the lawsuit, and no backup tapes are destroyed. But the media that we're talking about, the information might be on DVDs, CDs, or on system networks, not actually just on tapes. So we filed for a temporary restraining order to stop the White House from destroying any of the records during the pendency of the litigation. And we had a big victory yesterday. The district court judge in the District of Columbia, Henry Kennedy, issued the temporary restraining order and said that if anybody in the White House destroys any records, they'll be found in contempt of court. And that could mean jail time or substantial fines. So during the pendency of the litigation, the White House can't destroy anything, although there is a question about whether they've already tried to permanently destroy the emails that are missing from that crucial period.
You just read my mind.
Right. I mean, and it seems like they may well have. There would be emails regarding Iraq and the war. The reason this originally came to light was because the White House had to admit to Special Counsel Patrick Fitzgerald that they didn't have all of the White House emails relating to Valerie Plame because they were missing.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems clear that the White House has never wanted to restore those records. The White House, as I said, was given a plan to restore them in 2005, and you know, here we are almost 2008, and they never undertook that plan.
Well, given their penchant for secrecy and the suspicion that there would be embarrassing disclosures from any release of these emails, I just have a strong suspicion, with nothing to base it on, except a strong suspicion, that
a little bit of a pattern with this White House.
Yeah, that they would have attempted to scrub this by now if they had had any opportunity whatsoever.
I think that's right, but, you know, we can only do what we can do, and we're going to try and prevent it and see what happened, and hopefully if they did destroy it one day, that will come to light in the course of this lawsuit.
And even if there aren't any smoking guns, proverbially, in those emails, you may be able to discover a pattern of communication that clearly shows the violation of the Presidential Records Act that you deeply suspect.
That's right. And, you know, with over 5 million, and let me tell you that 5 million is apparently a very conservative estimate because it is all White House executive emails that are gone for literally hundreds of days in that two-year period. So we wanted to get more information about exactly the scope of the problem and whether, you know, which offices the emails seem to disappear from. And all of that shouldn't be something the White House should be so anxious to hide. If they had some kind of technical problem, why are they hiding it? What it looks like is that they deliberately went in and deleted those emails.
Well, I know some young people who are really good with computers, and if they really want to solve the problem, we could send my geeks in there, and, you know, 24 hours, we'd have an answer.
Well, that's right. I mean, and in fact, the White House was given a solution to this problem. They were given a recovery plan, and they chose not to follow it. And that, of course, is even more suspicious.
Yeah. Melanie Sloan is with us from CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. You're also pursuing a case against the Department of Education based on a Freedom of Information Act request. What's this one about, Melanie?
Well, there's two different things going on with the Department of Education. First, we've just filed a complaint today against the Department of Education saying that they are now refusing to honor any of our FOIA requests. They're not responding to any of them, and that we're saying that they are engaging in a pattern and practice of failing to provide us information. And we think this is because we've been going after the Department of Education so much. Particularly, we went after the Department of Education saying that people were using their private email accounts to handle public information requests, and they were for official actions, which was there for violating the Federal Records Act and making information not available under the FOIA. So we've sued there. But I think something that your listeners might be even more interested in is we had another victory last week where the Inspector General at the Department of Education has agreed to investigate the fact of No Child Left Behind money being spent on Ignite products. Ignite is a company that is run by the president's brother, Neil Bush.
Yeah.
Neil Bush, people may remember from Silverado, the failed savings and loan debacle that cost taxpayers over $1 billion. Well, he went after being in the savings and loan business, suddenly he went into the educational products business. A logical leap if I ever heard one.
Mm-hmm.
And he has these products called Curriculum on Wheels, or COWS, which are basically just big television monitors in cow-shaped materials.
Nice.
And they're not scientifically proven. There's no evidence to suggest that they help. And one of the things about No Child Left Behind, which the president touted so much, was that it said we were only going to be using scientifically proven methods to teach our children. And here, No Child Left Behind Act funds are being spent on these Curriculum on Wheels, or COWS, which cost $3,800 to buy and then $1,000 a year to maintain. And there's no evidence to say they work, but Neil Bush is getting rich off it.
And this is what his proud mama was proposing as a sop to victims of Hurricane Katrina, right? They were supposed to get vouchers for some of these fine educational toys?
Oh, yeah, this is what, I mean, it's even more, it's completely horrifying. Barbara Bush said she would make a donation to Katrina victims as long as the money was spent on Neil Bush's products. So it wasn't really a charitable donation. It was a way for her to get a tax deduction for helping support Neil Bush.
Fascinating. Now, Melanie, one other activity there at Crew that I saw an item on in the past week or so is that I believe you have teamed up with some other activist groups in Washington to develop this new website called governmentdocs.org.
Yes, as we've talked about so much, we do lots and lots of FOIA requests, and we end up with tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of pages of government documents, and we are not the only group that does this. Groups like Public Citizen and the Project on Government Oversight also get a lot of documents through the FOIA. And we all put those documents, or at least a selection of those documents, up on our own website. But those are PDFs, and they're not easily searchable and reviewable.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've done is we've created this brand new database, Government Docs, that Project on Government Oversight and Public Citizen and the Sunshine Foundation and the Electronic Frontier Foundation are already agreeing to partner with us. And we're all putting our documents on this in this terrific way where the documents are searchable, reviewable, and taggable. People can comment on them. So people around the country can help us review documents, and maybe they'll find something that helps our case, but maybe also when they're reviewing, say, the Jack Abramoff records, they'll see something else that's useful for some other purpose. We just don't know exactly how far this can go, and we're hoping other groups will soon sign on and put their documents on the website as well.
Well, I think it's great. And who's archiving all this? That's a major task.
Yes, well, we've been working. I mean, this is a system that Crew developed with the support of the Sunshine Foundation, which also gets documents and is putting them on. And hopefully we will all not have to keep all the paper eventually, but people are being taught how to scan them and put them up on the system as we speak.
I think it's great. So I want to direct people to that, governmentdocs.org, governmentdocs.org. Melanie, thanks for your work. You never cease to amaze me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Peter. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk again soon, next week. That's Melanie Sloan from Crew. Now, we're heading into the free speech zone. My lines are open to talk with you. I've got a couple of items I want to talk about. The oil spill on San Francisco Bay. CNN has finally covered the case of a rendition suspect, Maher Arar from Canada. I saw the coverage last night, and hey, CNN, it's only 2 years too late, but it's about time you covered that. And also, we'll talk about the plans by the FCC to further deregulate the media. That's all ahead. Your comments are welcome. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Call me today in the Free Speech Zone right here on the PBC Show.
Like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ah!
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year and the fact that we can offer estate quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Hello, this is Jane Fleming with Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery in Monterey. And if you have a new emerging business like I do, consider advertising on KRXA 540 AM. KRXA is one of the best values on the Central Coast in today's competitive marketplace. Beyond Wheat has seen noticeable and consistent growth since our ads began with KRXA. We are muffins ahead in sales every month thanks to sales manager Larry Rathall. Call Larry at 394-KRXA. That's 394-5792. You'll be so glad you did.
All right, everybody, it's time for the traffic once again. Well, so what do we got to tell you? Let's give you the latest. Well, we did have a problem. Here we go. Watsonville, Eureka Canyon Road at Lower Highland. A vehicle hit a deer. The deer is still in the lane. Let's take a look at another problem. Monterey County, eastbound 68 after Santa Benicio. We have a pickup truck and a car still blocking lanes. Santa Cruz, southbound 17 at Highway 1. Right lane partially blocked because of a stall vehicle. Prunedale, Crazy Horse Canyon at Wild Horse Road. A truck went off the roadway, actually just drove off the roadway, and landed into a ditch, which is not good news. And southbound 1, a little bit of slow-and-go traffic between Monterey and Carmel. Eastbound 25, slow-and-go out of Gilroy and into Hollister. And that is a look at traffic on KRXA.
Show lines open for you at 888-5 Peter B, the free speech zone. Here's Roy.
Every time we think about same-sex marriage, it makes us sick to our guts. I mean, two people who want to commit to a stable, monogamous, lifelong relationship, what are they, nuts?
Oh, yeah.
It's unnatural. Now, a man should not lie with a person who is a guy. He should only lie to his wife. The Bible is clear. We're defenders of marriage in three-button suits. We'll raise our double standard and see who salutes. Defenders of marriage, defending the institution against people who want to get married.
That's my wacky friend Roy Zimmerman. He is going to accompany me on a trip up through the big, tall redwoods to Eureka, California. That's right, Eureka, Humboldt County, Arcata, and I never forget Trinidad. We're coming up to do the Peter B. Collins Show live from the Eureka Theater on Friday. That's the 30th of November. And I want to invite you to come over for the live broadcast in the afternoon from 3 to 6. And then we're going to schmooze a little bit. And Roy Zimmerman will take the stage. We haven't ironed out all the details, but say 7 or 7:30. And he'll be performing some of these great political satire tunes from his CD, Faulty Intelligence, and also some new releases that have come out since that CD. So I want you to mark your calendar and bring as many friends as you can. We've got a real low ticket price, and it's all to keep the Peter B. Collins Show on the air. We don't whine or plead with you or ask you for contributions, but this is a labor of love. So far, it's not a cash-flowing business, and we could use your help to keep the show on the air. So I invite you to come out, KGOE listeners, or if you want to make the trip from anywhere else into Eureka. It's a beautiful town and a lot of fun there. We will be lighting things up at the Eureka Theater on Friday, November 30th, with our headliner, Roy Zimmerman. And so you've got the word, you've got the invitation. Spread it out there and see if we can pack the theater. I'd be delighted to see you all. Taking your calls now, 888-5-PETER-B. There are lines available if you want to chime in. Peter V. and Salinas, you're up first. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Peter. Peter, what was that strange language Mr. Gravel was speaking? I couldn't make it out. You know, I'm so used to listening to our politicians speak corporate suck-up ease that it was a strange, refreshing clarity, and I didn't understand.
Well, it is just that attracts me to him, Peter. As you know, ours is one of the first shows that invited Mike Gravel to air out his views when he announced for president a year and a half ago. And I don't think he's going to go the distance, but hey, I welcome his participation because he is willing to blurt out the truth when it's politically incorrect, when it's inconvenient, and even when it's right in the faces of the people most embarrassed by it.
Well done, well spoken. And Peter, my second point is I would like to have a statue of Melanie Sloan erected in Washington as Saint Melanie, the patron saint of jurisprudence, but the problem being she won't be allowed to have the sword of justice. Unfortunately, due to the nature of her work, it will be Lysol and a fly swatter. Thank you, Peter.
Okay, Peter, thank you. And if you've never seen Melanie Sloan, she appears occasionally on the Hardball show. She's a beautiful woman. And I say that in admiration only. She recently got married, but she's quite a package, and I really appreciate the work that she does trying to reform Washington and impose some level of ethical accountability. Lines open if you want to join us in the Free Speech Zone. You can comment on any subject in the news, things we've talked about, things we haven't. Earlier today, we reminisced about the days opposing the Vietnam War with Kathy Wilkerson, who was in the Weather Underground. You heard Rachel Morris, who's actually from New Zealand, talk about Rudy Giuliani. And a very interesting analysis. You should be afraid, be very afraid of Rudy. He would grab more power, she says, than Bush has attempted to date. Jason Leopold shared his powerful interview with Valerie Wilson with us, and you also heard about corruption in Washington. So any of those subjects or something you want to throw into the mill, give us a call now, 888-5-PETER-B. You may have heard that Kevin Martin, who is the chairman of the FCC, has had a plan that he has kept under wraps until today. He wants to further deregulate the media industry. And he wrote an op-ed that appeared in today's New York Times, and it's a hoot. Because he says that he wants to deregulate television and radio by removing the newspaper cross-ownership rule. And what does this mean? Well, currently there's a rule on the books that is widely violated that says you can't own a newspaper, a television, and a radio station in the same city. And in San Francisco, the Chronicle newspaper used to own Channel 4, an NBC affiliate, hardly a UHF minor station. In Chicago, the Tribune Company owns WGN Television, they own the Cubs, and they own WGN Radio, a 50,000-watt station that's always in the top of the ratings. And a financier named Sam Zell is in the process of buying the Tribune Company, and he put down less than 5%. And in fact, when the deal closes, he gets his money back. He's essentially getting a multi-billion dollar enterprise for a few pennies on the dollar. And Sam Zell has made it clear to the FCC that he either wants a waiver so he can continue to own the newspaper, the TV station, or the radio station. He's already agreed to sell the Cubs baseball team. But he also would be satisfied if they repealed the rule altogether. So Kevin Martin, who has no jurisdiction whatsoever over the newspaper industry, writes in the New York Times today that he wants this deregulation in order to save newspapers in this country. It is so, well, it's dissembling. That's what it is. It's a dishonest argument. And yet he's got two other Republicans on the FCC, and there are two fighting Democrats, Jonathan Adelstein and Michael Copps. They don't have much prospect of converting one of their Republican colleagues to a no vote on this deregulatory move. I think it'll probably go through. Let me know what you think about it. Give us a call now. Lines are open for the rest of the hour in the Free Speech Zone. 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start a kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Pacific Grove's Joe Rombi has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Rombi's signature creations, like the Totally Chipotle, Crazy for Mushrooms, or famous Malrose, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Rombi's La Piccolo Casa Pizzeria, next door to Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. And with the holiday season approaching, if you're looking for the ideal private room for your next party, look no further than Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina, with accommodations for groups of any size from 10 to 60. So for great dinners or private parties, it's Joe Rombi's La Mia Cucina, next door to Joe Rombi's La Piccolo Casa Pizzeria. Click on joerombi.com or call 831-373-2416. Or for pizza, call 373-0129.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Follow the race for the championship of the Monterey Bay, Tri-County, and Mission Trail High School Athletic League. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
Pacific Grove on their own home turf meets Soquel this Friday for first round CCS playoffs. Pre-game around 7:10, 7:30. Kickoff.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Hi-ya! We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Your calls and comments are welcome in the free speech zone here at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Here's John F.
I saw a face in the shower door. A cowboy smile came and faded. I reached for my towel on the floor. I didn't think it was exactly where I laid it. You don't scare me, you don't scare me, I said. Whatever it was floating in the air above my bed, he knew I understand. He was the ghost of a Texas ladies' man.
We continue here on the PBC show. Just before the break, I was mentioning this bizarre argument being presented by Kevin Martin. He is the chair of the Federal Communications Commission, and just to pull back the curtain on the relationships in the Bush administration, he's a fairly young guy. He might even be under 40. And his wife is Kathy Martin. You're scratching your head. Well, so? Kathy Martin popped up in the Scooter Libby trial as an assistant to Vice President Cheney. She was some sort of a flack, a media person, a press aide, something like that. And she has since left the White House. But they're a power couple. And Kevin Martin is doing more than even Michael Powell, who, of course, was there because his daddy was Secretary of State, when Powell moved to deregulate the media rules a few years ago. So Kevin Martin has been making noises about this plan for several months. The good news is that he is making no attempt to reduce the current limits that Fox and CBS and ABC and NBC have on how many television stations they can own and what level of media domination they can rise to by simply spending more money and buying more stations. So that's at least for the moment, is good news. There's no permanency to that. He could come back in January and say, oh, by the way, I think Rupert Murdoch ought to be able to own more TV stations. But get this. This is the argument he made in this op-ed in today's New York Times. A company that owns a newspaper in one of the 20 largest cities in the country should be permitted to purchase a broadcast TV or radio station in the same market. But a newspaper should be prohibited from buying one of the top four TV stations in the community. In addition, each part of the combined entity would need to maintain its editorial independence. Now, he makes no mention of how that's going to be achieved. But that's what he says. Beyond giving newspapers and large markets the chance to buy one local TV or radio station, no other ownership rule would be altered. Other companies would not be allowed to own any more radio or television stations, either in a single market or nationally, than they already do. Well, Kevin, that's just ridiculous, because the past rounds of deregulation have already produced egregious levels of concentration in this country already. So this is a bizarre argument where, in order to satisfy Sam Zell and a few other Republican contributors, Kevin Martin is trying to eviscerate the newspaper cross-ownership rule. And to be fair, in many respects, it's never been properly enforced because they grandfathered in the existing combinations. So, for example, in Atlanta, Georgia. The Cox Company owns the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, WSB Radio, a clear channel 50,000-watt AM station, and WSB Television, which I don't recall is affiliated with a major network. And so they have huge concentration that already exists in that market. And it's grandfathered in. And so it's really Sam Zell at the, in his efforts to acquire the Tribune Company in Chicago for almost nothing. That's the reason that the FCC is making this move at this time. Greg in Sacramento wants to talk about it. Thanks, Greg. You're on the air.
Yeah. If I was the next president, that would be one of my first things that I would do as far as my executive powers would be, first of all, get rid of Martin. Second, a third, I would put in, or actually second, I would put Michael Copps in as the FCC chair, because I've heard him speak many times and read some of his articles on where he's at as far as dual ownership in a single market. And I don't know if I've told you this before, but maybe you could probably guess, as a lot of people have told me from the sound of my voice, I am a former broadcaster and no longer in the business, but that would be one of the first things that I would eliminate. Mm-hmm. Would be the rule that they have in place where you have unlimited ownership in a single market. That would go right off the bat. No newspapers. I would go back to the old 12-12-12 rule.
That goes back to the mid-80s, Greg.
That's right.
It was 7-7-7. You could own 7 TV, 7 AM, 7 FM, up through about 1984, 85. Then that was watered down to 12-12-12. And then they just threw those out, and the limits shifted to a per-market basis. And essentially, in the top markets, a company like Clear Channel can own as many as 8 FM stations and two to three, maybe even 4 AM stations.
Right. If you want to go that far, you go back prior to 85, then we'll just make it 777 right across the board. I understand the language. I know the market concentration. Make it and even make it to where, because it's like, 15% of the market share I'm assuming it's the networks. I'd eliminate that and bring it down to like maybe 12% of the market share.
Well, Greg, here's something really interesting that just surfaced in the past 12 months. The idea was that deregulation was going to unleash market forces and that we'd have, you know, more programming, more choices for people, and it hasn't worked out that way.
Oh.
But the basic theory was, bigger is better. And what we saw was that the marketplace dictated to the owners of Clear Channel, who are still struggling to complete a deal to take the company private, they persuaded them that bigger is not better. And as a matter of fact, Clear Channel has sold off about 500 of the 1,200 stations that it topped out at when it bulked up over the last few years. And that is a very clear admission on their part that they couldn't make it work. They could not manage 1,200 radio stations in, 110 markets or whatever it was.
Right.
And so that, I think, is a very interesting business statement on the part of Clear Channel. And I think the commission ought to listen to that and say, maybe we don't need to have the McDonald's model dominate our media in this country.
That's right. That's right. And Clear Channel would be one of the other stations that I would go to and say, nope, you got to unleash some properties and open up to a diverse, market.
Mm-hmm.
Diversity of voices in a single market.
Gotcha. Greg, anything you want to add?
I'm hungry.
Okay, what's for dinner tonight?
I don't know.
Oh, it's turkey meatloaf at my house. You want to come over?
You want to talk politics? Sure.
All right,
but
Greg.
I'm a vegetarian.
Oh, sorry. Thanks for your call, Greg.
All right.
We've got to play some music here to introduce our next caller.
It's another fascist day. It's just another fascist.
precious day. Every day Dabya gets his way. It's another fascist day.
Yes, that's Victrola and the Dust Bunnies, their 2008 calendar. Every time you turn the page, it's another fascist day. Victoria joins us from Columbus, Ohio. Hello, Victoria.
Hello, Peter B.
Thanks for calling in. Your song is Top of the Pops here at the PBC show.
That's good news.
Yeah, it surfaced as the single. I did play a few of the others when we first got it, but Fascist Day just really clicks.
That's the one.
Yeah.
And it is another fascist day. I wrote it because every day it's something else. Every day. We've got more moves by this administration to clamp down on free speech. They're spying on us, more secrecy, more signing statements, you name it.
Well, you know, Victoria, in your case, I feel a little bit better knowing that they're spying on you.
Oh, I'm very spied on.
Why don't you get a webcam and do your own reality show from Columbus? It'll be a big, big hit.
Actually, there are people bugging me to start my own local radio show.
Yeah?
Which I think would be really good because I have a lot to say, obviously.
Yeah.
And I have a background in broadcasting. And I remember my classes in college in broadcast communications about the fairness doctrine and the ownership rules. And then we saw the media and journalism get pushed to the right by the echo chamber. And eventually we got the Telecommunications Act of 1996,
mm-hmm.
which was passed by Bill Clinton.
Yes, it was.
It did not do anything good for mainstream media as far as I'm concerned, in my opinion.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And it also gummed up the whole deal with the phone companies, which had been broken up by Judge Green back in the mid-80s. And they were swimming along nicely. And they basically, under the Telco Act of 96, were permitted to reunite. And now we're stuck with AT&T again.
Yes, and here they are again in room 641A.
Yeah, we're working very hard to get Mark Klein on the show, and I just got an email that he is tuckered out. He's had too many interviews, so it may take a week or two, but we're going to keep on it. I really want to hear his first-person account. He's the guy who blew the whistle and was working for AT&T in two different locations where he was able to suss out this massive diversion of the bandwidth pipe that permitted, essentially, every email that we send, every phone call that we make, to pass through the NSA filter.
Yes, one goes to you, and then the other side of the splitter goes to whoever.
Well, and I just relish the idea that there's some underpaid schlub sitting there reading all those megadick spam emails.
How boring would that get? I personally feel like Kevin Martin should step down.
Oh, Victoria, you don't... Wait. Victoria, you don't get it. He's doing his job. He's part of the wrecking crew. He takes his orders from the White House. He doesn't even have to have one of those GWB43 email accounts.
It is so wrong that we are heading in precisely the wrong direction with our media in this country. We should be breaking up big media. For one most important reason, and that is media, particularly radio.
Now, why do you say that? The right wing only has 91% of the talk shows on radio today. How could you have any problem with that?
Oh, that's not enough, don't you think?
I mean, don't you think that pipsqueaks like me should be squashed like a bug under Rush Limbaugh's boot? I'm sure he'd give me some OxyContin first, so I really wouldn't feel it.
Thank God you're on the radio, Peter B. I listen from Columbus, Ohio, because I can. And we, of course, lost our progressive talk radio station in Columbus, Ohio, when Clear Channel pulled the plug,
yeah.
When it was an obviously bad marketing decision because its ratings were really skyrocketing. Very successful, young format.
Well, and it was also the weakest station they owned in the market. They didn't put it on 610, they put it on 1230.
That's
and you
right.
could barely hear it in Worthington.
Despite the really, really raunchy signal that they put out,
mm-hmm.
its ratings continued to climb
yeah.
because people are so hungry for it here.
Hey, Victoria, I got to run to a break, but I want to tip you off. Go to nonstopradio.com.
Aldous Tyler.
Aldous.
I know him. I worked very hard to preserve our format.
Yeah, well, Aldous is holding a symposium in Madison this summer.
Yes.
And you're invited.
I really want to get, you know, get away from elections and start moving into media activism a little bit more. But the elections in Ohio are so bad that
yeah,
I can't
are.
To really, you know, there's so few people really dedicated to election reform. I have to be there for that. But the media is just as important.
Well, I hope you can come to Madison and bring the band.
About net neutrality.
Yeah, that's a big issue. But can you bring the band if you come to Madison?
I'll bring my guitar.
We need some nighttime entertainment.
Yes, I'll make you all laugh.
Thank you, Victoria. Great to talk to you.
Great talking to you too, Peter.
All right, more of your calls in a moment. You know the number 888-5 Peter B. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Welcome to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at noon on KRXA 540 AM. Your Solar Future is about the practical, the passion, and the politics of going solar. Listen to Your Solar Future, Saturdays at high noon. Go to YourSolarFuture.com. See the solar videos sent in by folks like you. Save thousands of dollars. Make money as well. You'll see when you go to YourSolarFuture.com.
How many times have you bumped up against a belief that in fact harms you, hurts you, and really acts like a disease? How often is belief a barrier to well-being and happiness? Healing Beyond Limits Radio, heard Sundays from 9 to 10 a.m., cuts through the busyness of life and gets to the heart of what you can do to throw away limitations and live the life you want. Join the unlikely oncologist, Dr. Debbie Lindquist, and world-renowned life coach, journalist, Glenn Brooks, and discover how you can dissolve ideas and actions that hold you back. Heard on the Vibrant Living Radio Network, right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Alrighty, it's time for the very last traffic report of the evening. So let's get right to it, see what we can find. CHP, tell us about a problem in the famous Santa Cruz Mountains, home of the UC Santa Cruz Banana Slugs. FYI, southbound 15 at Redwood Estates. Looks like a crash. Some injuries there. A solo vehicle hit a guardrail. It's on the right shoulder. We have paramedics, fire department on scene, along with CHP as well. Also want to take a look at a problem in Monterey County, Highway 68 eastbound after Benicio. It's a pickup truck and a car still blocking lanes. Emergency crews remain on scene. Capitola, southbound one after Park Avenue. There's a, well, I don't know why they're reporting it, but they're reporting it. It's a broom in the right lane. Spajaro San Juan Road at Porter, there's a two-vehicle crash being reported there. Santa Cruz County, an accident on the shoulder of Highway 9 at San Lorenzo Valley.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. 8 minutes in front of the hour. Right down the street from my secret studio is the secret studio of Carlos Santana.
Like a gift from the heavens, it was easy to tell. It was
was love from above that could save me from hell. She had fire in her soul. It was easy to see how the devil himself could be pulled out of me. There were drums in the air as she started to dance. Every soul in the room keeping time with her hands. And we sing, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey, oh, hey. And a voice is rang like the angels sing.
That one's called Into the Night. Santana has a new one out called The Ultimate Santana, and it's 18 songs, including some of his greatest, greatest hits. So it's a pretty powerful collection, and that's a new one featuring vocals by Chad Kroeger, we think is the lead singer of Nickelback. If I'm wrong, correct me, but we think that's right. Billy is joining us from Capitola. Welcome, Billy. You're on the air.
Samba Pati.
Yeah, that's on here, too.
That's, like, probably the prettiest song in the world.
That and Europa, Earth's Cry, Heaven's Smile.
I mean, I like Carlos, really, his sound better than any other guitar.
Yeah, yeah, he is amazing.
And that isn't because I got to spend a ride on his bus up to Birmingham, England one time.
But oh, yeah?
Story for another time.
Well, I've got a minute here. Tell me.
Well, it happens that this good friend of mine was the drummer. And for like a year, everywhere I went, I was traveling a lot, Santana just happened to be playing. So I got to see them in New York,
mm-hmm.
San Francisco, in Philadelphia,
sure.
And in London when I was there.
Nice.
I got to go with them on the bus up to a show and back.
It mm-hmm.
was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I'll trade you a story. In 1996, I asked him to do a benefit concert to help spring an inmate from San Quentin the legal way.
Oh, that never works.
And he said yes. And we got him out. He was the last inmate released by Pete Wilson. And we thought that Gray Davis was going to be better than Wilson on that issue. And he was worse. It was just amazing. So I will forever be grateful to him and also to B.B. King for the benefit show that helped win freedom for Dennis Jones.
I don't know what life would have been like without rock.
Yeah, yeah. So what's on your mind, Billy?
Well, I want to characterize this conversation that you're having now with this, because I'm a simple man, I do things simply. The freedom of speech is worthless if you can't be heard. There's two sides to the freedom of speech. We always talk about the freedom to speak, but we never talk about the ability for people to hear us. And that's what's at risk in what you're talking about today.
There's also a very interesting corollary, and of course I'm not a legal scholar. It doesn't stop me from having this opinion. The Supreme Court ruling called Buckley versus Valeo, which is in the way of any kind of meaningful reform of our graft and corruption system of electing politicians through campaign contributions.
You mean money is speech?
Yeah. Buckley versus Valeo says that money is speech. And if we have free speech, then we have to have a media that is properly regulated to prevent those with the most money from creating the loudest speech.
Obviously, and yet nothing.
Yeah. Because the big boys have more money, and they keep lobbying. Today on the Ed Schultz Show, and in Monterey, you'll hear it right after this program, Ed had Commissioner Adelstein on the program. And on Friday, there was a huge turnout for an FCC public meeting in Seattle. And Adelstein told Schultz that Kevin Martin delayed notifying people of the meeting to the last minute under the law. I think they gave him 48 hours public notice. Yet 1,100 people showed up. The commissioners were there until 1 o'clock in the morning listening to people. And Martin flew back to Washington and then announced his plan, which flies in the face, Adelstein says, of virtually every comment they heard at that public hearing.
You know, like in everything, the damager has done his work. He's put people in charge who are there to destroy the nation that we've helped to build. It's a pity.
Yeah, it sure is. Thank you, Billy.
Thanks, buddy.
You bet. Now, ladies and gentlemen, is our final feature on the Peter B. Collins Show today, Tasers Gone Wild. Earlier this year in North Braddock, Pennsylvania, Sean Hicks came back from a night out. He plopped down on his couch in his own home. But unfortunately, he failed to deactivate the silent alarm on his home security system. According to Hicks, two police officers responded to the alarm, entered his home, and woke him with a taser between the shoulder blades. Huh. Wake up, dude! When Hicks tried to explain that the whole thing was a misunderstanding and the officers were in his own home, they tasered him again. Then they checked his wallet and ID, confirming his name and address, and just for fun, they tasered him again. The police then removed the taser pellets from Hicks' bloody back, refused to get him medical treatment, and arrested him for being belligerent. They threw him in a holding cell until 5 o'clock the next morning and released him without filing any charges. The taser was unharmed. And the final insult, this is shocking but not electrically so, the officers were cleared of any wrongdoing. Ladies and gentlemen, I think I've done enough damage. The Peter B. Collins Show concludes at this time. Brought to you by our producer, Katrina Rill, and our able associate producer, Brian Urban. Visit our website at peterbcollins.com. Follow the link on the homepage to our zippy new easy-to-use podcasts. Soon to be available in Seattle. We'll have that announcement shortly. Eureka, I'll see you at the Eureka Theater on November 30th.
Who cares about the
hemp? The superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp. This God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A CBS News investigation finds the rate of suicide among military veterans is more than double that of Americans overall, and veterans most likely to have served in Iraq and Afghanistan, those aged 20 to 24, are nearly four times as likely to take their lives. Correspondent Armin Katayan talked to the families.
23-year-old Marine reservist Jeff Lucy hanged himself with a garden hose in the cellar of his parents' home, where his father, Kevin, found him.
There's the crisis going on, and people are just turning the other way.
Kim and Mike Bowman's son, Tim, was an Army reservist who patrolled one of the most dangerous places in Baghdad, known as Airport Road.
His eyes, when he came back, were just dead. The light wasn't there anymore.
8 months later, on Thanksgiving Day, Tim shot himself. He was 23. Diana Henderson's son, Derek, served three tours in Iraq. He died jumping off a bridge at 27.
The military keeps records of suicides by active duty soldiers, but the government has never done a national study of suicide among veterans. More attention is being paid to the emotional health of returning soldiers. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato has the latest findings.
The Army began testing soldiers twice after being criticized for relying only on a single screening to detect mental health problems. The second test finds a larger number of soldiers with needs. It's given within 6 months of a soldier's return. This study in the Journal of the American Medical Association finds that by then, 20% of active duty troops and 40% of Guard and Reserve require treatment.
On Wall Street today, they didn't want it to end. At the close, the Dow was 319 points higher at 13,307. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason tells us the market reacted to a series of encouraging developments.
The first was that Walmart, which is the world's biggest retailer, came in with some pretty strong numbers. The second thing was that oil actually fell $3 to $91 a barrel. Remember, only a week ago, it was almost at $100. And finally, two big financial giants, J.P. Morgan Chase and Goldman Sachs, said they didn't expect any major losses from the mortgage mess.
New York Governor Eliot Spitzer reportedly has abandoned his controversial plan to issue driver's licenses to illegal immigrants. The Associated Press quotes congressional aides as saying Spitzer will make the announcement tomorrow, deferring to the federal government on immigration matters. More damage.